network needs, this network gets. I promise you that.
The Blind Tag, Turnbuckle Throwbacks, WLW Studios Midnight Jury and After Midnight, Inconclusive Breakdown, Neckbreaker, Thursday Night Destruction, Two and a Half Wrestlers featuring the Pat Buck Show and the Bro Show, and the Shining Wizards. These are the shows of the Shining Wizards Network. ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. Entertainment here.
The one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Message, this is professional wrestler Jimmy Valiant, the Boogie Woogie Man. Tell my people, my brothers and sisters, don't you dare miss Turnbuckle Throwback Radio Rant EM Radio. Oh yeah!
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
The Shining Wizards Network proudly presents
the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast
with your hosts,
the Impact Playa, Phil Rea, and Dave Mega Powers.
In a New York groove. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. No. No children of all ages. We are the recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. This be the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. As always, your gracious host, the Impact Player, Mr. Phil Rea, and I am joined by no one. I'm solo tonight. The Mega Powers is doing his tour of Asian film festivals. So I think he concludes tonight with Korea. How's everybody doing tonight? It is like summertime here in New York City, so I figured I'd play some Ace Frehley. It was 80 fucking degrees today in November. I walked outside and I saw a gazelle run past my lawn. Insane. Anyway, hope everybody had a great week. I had a good day. I'm going to talk about my day in a second. So you know how this is. This is open mic night. I give you guys the phone number or the Skype. You call in. We talk some stuff. Give me a couple of minutes to get my stuff out before you start ringing my phone up. And let Ace Frehley play in the background. Anyway. Yeah, we'll talk about the Mets. Yes. Ted Turner's in the room. Nature Boy's in the room. My man Scotty's in the room. You know what? Let me play that again because I can't do both. Let me kill Ace Frehley here. Hold on a minute. Yeah, one day I'll get like a real professional studio.
Scott!
There we go. If you were listening to the beginning of the show, Scott went and got us a bumper from the man, the myth, the legend himself, the Boogie Woogie Man, Jimmy Valiant, all 73 years old of him. And Scott said to me, he sends me a message. He goes, I got you a bumper from Jimmy Valiant. I was like, oh, man. Now, this can go two ways. Either it's going to be really, 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 really good, or it's going to be really, really, really bad. Because, again, he's up there in age. You guys want the number and stuff, it's scrolling on your chat. If you're in the chat room and you're on your computer, it's scrolling live next to the feed. If not, I'll put it up in a second. I want to get my point across there. So anyway, so when I got the message, and Scott sends me. I'm going to send you an. He was at this Comic Con, and he'll explain it when he calls in. But he said he gets home, he sent it to me, and I opened it up, and I was like, I was out and about. I was running some errands, and I'm like, oh man, this is fucking fantastic. This is fantastic. And I'm glad I got it. So we got Sonny Ono, we got. The Boogie Woogie Man, Jimmy Valiant, Little Egypt. Either way, we got some good ones. So, Scotty, thank you very much, and you'll call in a second. So, like I said, it was like 80 degrees here in New York, right? And it's my day off. So I had to clean up the man cave, get the studio ready for tonight, because my room was like, it looked like a hurricane hit it, literally. And I had to go run some errands outside, and I'm in walking distance to... like everything where I live. I can go shopping, food shopping, this shopping. I had to go to cleaners, fix some pants, get some lunch. And I stopped in the AT&T store because I'm eligible for an upgrade for a phone at the end of the month. And I wanted to see the guys in there. Took care of my wife last year. And they did a really good job. So I walked in. I was like, listen, man, I'm up for an upgrade. What can I get? You know, this, that, the third. What do I do? You know, he's like, well, you can get the phone now. What do you want? And I tell him what I want. And I said, you know, I was going to switch to Android. I've been an iPhone guy since like the past like 5 or 6 years. I've been an iPhone guy because I have everything in my house. Apple. I have a Mac. I have an iMac. I have Apple TV. So I figured, you know what? Stick with the plan. But my only issue with the phone was I didn't have enough memory. So what sold me on the Android was like you can replace the you can expand the memory. So I thought, you know what? You know, now the new Androids don't have the expandable memory. So I'm just going to stick with Apple. So the guy's like, all right, listen, I can give it to you for this price. Like every month, you just add this to your bill and blah, 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 blah. I was like, all right. So I call the wife because, you know, when you're married, you know, your wife handles the money. So if you aren't married, get used to that. Get used to your money because once you get married, it's not yours anymore. So I call the wife. I'm like, listen, it's going to be this, this, and this. She's like, yeah, go ahead, go do it. So now I start finagling. I'm like, well, I want the biggest memory, right? He goes, all right. So I'm paying this amount. What's going to be the monthly fee if I get the 128 gig phone? And he goes, $4 more. So I got the 6S, by the way, the iPhone 6S. And I'm like, yeah, that's what I want. That's what I want. So I got that. And then he hands me a tablet, right? So now I got a tablet last year when my wife got a new phone and we switched our phone plan. They gave us an Android tablet. So he hands me a tablet. He goes, yeah, this is part of the promotion. You can get a free tablet. I'm like, listen, I don't want a free tablet. I want an iPad. So he goes, all right, I have an iPad mini. And for $100, you can have... For $100, you can have the iPad mini. And I was like, really? You can't hook me up? So now, there's a glitch. I'm sitting there for like an hour and a half now. There's a glitch in the computer. They're running it up. I give them the other tablet back. I don't want it. So the other guy walks over to me and goes, you want to trade in your 5? I'm like, so you can get some accessories? And I was like, what's the trade-in credit? Now, my 5S was pristine. Like, it looks like it's still out of the fucking box. I kept the cover on it since the first day I bought it, you know? And I got the glass on it and stuff and all that shit. So he was like, he goes, all right, tell you what, I'll give you $110 for your phone for credit. I was like, wait a second, wait a second, wait a second. You mean to tell me my phone costs more than the fucking iPad mini? So why can't I just trade in my phone? Fuck the accessories. You're going to overcharge me anyway, I told him, to his face, and give me the iPad. He was like, well, I don't know if I could do that. I'm like, you can do that. Make this happen. I'm here an hour and a half. Make this happen. He goes, all right, I like you. Of course you like me. I'm a fucking good customer, you know? So he goes in the back. So apparently because of the promotion, they have to mail it to you and stuff like that. So he was like, listen, man, I did delete my porno. Thanks, Ted Turner. So I was like, you know what? I said, listen, man. I said, I'll wait. He goes, no. He goes, I'll have it to you by Monday. And since you waited so long, I'll give you a free case and the tempered glass for free. So not only, so I paid $100 and then I paid the tax for the phone. And he took like $70 off the bill, or $60 off the bill. Because $60 would have cost me the fucking the case and all that, which I could have bought on eBay for like half the price, but you know how to try to make the money. So I walked out of there. Now, my wife is the one who finagles all this shit. She's normally the deal maker, right? So I was like, listen, as soon as I ran out of there, I called. I'm like, see, I made good deals today. And I got a fucking iPad out of the deal, so I'll have an iPad by Monday, an iPad mini. So that was my day today. And I didn't take a hostage, which is cool, you know. I like when I have good days. So, it's been a really good day. I hate this weather, man. Like, I'm not maybe because I'm fat, but I'm even as a kid, I didn't like the warm weather, you know. And I'm looking for like a nice crisp breeze, you know, some like nice cold temperatures at night, soup weather, soup and sandwiches type of thing, you know, like last week. We go all excited, the family. It's a little chilly outside. We ran to the supermarket. We got soup, and I made grilled cheese. Apparently, according to my son, I'm the king of grilled cheese. So I made him, like, making everybody grilled cheeses. And, you know, my wife made grilled cheeses, and it was fantastic. Now I could wear fucking flip-flops and, you know, in shorts outside. You know, it's retarded. I can't. Mother Nature hates us. Yeah, it was humid. It was fucking warm outside, dude. And, like, it's weird because the lead, like, it's very. I live in a very, I guess it's partially a suburb. Like, my block is very suburbish. Like, but I live off of Main Avenue and a main street. So when you walk on the side streets, it looks like fucking postcards, man. Like Norman Rockwell type shit. And you can see, like, the fall leaves and the foliage and all that. But, like, dude, it's 78 degrees. And I'm like, this is retarded, you know? So hopefully that gets over. I'm done with that shit, you know? So anyway. Anyway, here we are, another Friday night. Let me give you a couple of updates to what's going on with the network and with us. Next week, Dave, once again, will not be here. However, we will have a new episode of Turnbuckle Throwbacks. The only thing is it's not going to be live. Dave has another appointment next week, not a film festival, something else. And we're going to record the episode early and then give it to you guys at 9 p.m. And hopefully I'll be in the chat room and, you know, whatever, and I'll... you know, yuck it up with you guys. But it's going to be World War III, WCW, 1995. That's the throwback next week. And then we'll carry on with the... I don't know if we're going to have... We have two more episodes booked. We have our throwbacks all picked out. I don't know if we'll have a throwback the Friday after Thanksgiving. So far, we're going to. I just don't have anything... We don't have any material yet. We're working on it. Yeah, I guess you can call it a tape delay. Because I'm literally going to throw it up like 10 minutes after we record it. So we have to be done by a certain time so we can have it for you guys at 9 o'clock. This way I don't mess with the feed and whatever. If Dave was available during the day, we could tape it during the day, but he's working, so. And I'm not, so there you go. So anyway, little breaking down the fourth wall type shit, so there you go. You guys will have that. Of course, the Rant's going to have their coverage of Survivor Series Sunday, November 22nd, starting at 7 p.m. It's going to be a big day here, by the way, because we're all going to be live on... In studio that day, you're going to have myself, Mega Powers, Rage from the Wrestling Call-In Show. I'm sorry, not Wrestling Call-In Show. I messed that up. Rage from Freaks and Effing Geeks. He used to be on the Wrestling Call-In Show. Our buddy Rage. Our buddy Choppy and our buddy Rob from Thumbstick Ninjas is all going to be in studio that day on the pre-show. So that's going to be a treat with Double A, with Tony C, who's probably calling in later, and the Surfer. So... I think Jordan comes back this Sunday for What Are You Reading? So which is cool. Check that out. And tomorrow night, of course, the Wrestling Call-In Show with Mr. Will I Am Morgan and all the good shit. Tasty. Tasty, tasty, tasty treats. New Shining Wizards is out this week. They got four new shirts. We have shirts. Go to prowrestlingtees.com/turnbuckle throwbacks. Go buy a fucking shirt. Please, please, please. What else is going on? Oh, yes, the Christmas. Our last show of 2015 will be December 23rd. It's a Wednesday. I want to thank the Talk Brunch guys for giving us their night. It'll be the last. It's our Christmas, as Dave calls it, our Christmas spooktacular. It'll be our final show of the new year, of this year, I'm sorry. And then we'll have best ofs till the new year. I can't even talk tonight. But yeah, we'll have, and as a bonus, we're going to have probably, hopefully, all four of the Shining Wizards in studio with me. Normally, I get just Tony or just Tony and Eddie. I get Matt, but I'm hoping Kevin comes through. So far, they've all confirmed. So hopefully, we'll have them all in studio. We fucking drink. We eat pizza. We yell at each other. We open presents. It's pretty cool. And plus, you'll probably get a bonus episode of my son, who likes to give wrestlers Christmas presents every year. I like to record it because he comes up with some pretty funny shit. So you're getting a bonus episode, too, for Christmas. What else is going on? That's pretty much it with that. I don't have, and we'll get into some news, and then we'll take some calls. Let's see. I just want to get into a couple things here real quick. All right. I'll get into the Seth Rollins thing once we get some calls and stuff. I think we're going to be joined by the Unsilent Majority if she's not done reading her fucking Rue McClanahan book. During the week, a couple of legends signed legends deals, apparently. Tatanka signed a legends deal with WWE. The Boogeyman signed one. And more importantly, this warps my fucking mind, Superstar Billy Graham. Now, months and months and months ago, you heard me talk about Superstar Billy Graham and how he threatened Chris Jericho and how he hates WWE and how he hates, you know, that kind of. So now, just to prove my point, how fucking bipolar, you know, these old conjures are, you know, here's a guy who, you know, apparently, according to him, was going to get some work with Dusty Rhodes in NXT. And he's had some terrible, terrible, terrible medical issues, the Superstar Billy Graham. And that's because of, you know, years and years and years of abuse to his body. But Billy Graham was a trendsetter. Let's not get this twisted. Okay? The man, if it wasn't for him, you wouldn't have guys like Hulk Hogan. You wouldn't have guys like Jesse the Body Ventura. He was the trendsetter, you know? Billy Graham was the heel of all heels, the flamboyant heel, you know? Who got his style from Gorgeous George and, you know, of course, imitation, best form of flattery. But the thing is, he hated the fucking company 6 months ago. He hated the company 12 months ago. He's definitely bipolar. He's definitely bipolar. And that bothers me, man. Like, if you're two-faced about it, right? If you're two-faced about it and not say anything, like, I'm a better guy than that. If I say something derogatory, I'm not going to retract my statement. I'm going to apologize and say, listen, I said that. I was mad. I fucked up. These guys don't say that. And if they do, it's behind closed doors. And Triple H is the mender. He's the one who reached out to Warrior. He's the one who reached out to Bruno. He's the one who reached out to all these other guys, you know? It bothers me, you know? And I'm not like a WWE homer. Don't get that twisted. I just feel like if you're gonna be truthful about it, you know, at least say something like, "Hey, man, I fucked up. I ran my mouth. I was bitter." And it's mostly because these guys have an outlet now. You know, they have social media. They have Twitter and Facebook, and they have YouTube, and they go on podcasts and webcasts and radio shows, and, like, you know. And you watch these shoot interviews, 2, 3, 4 hour, you know, from high spots and our video and all this other nonsense. And it's like they'll shit on a product. And then when they get a Legends contract, they're like, "Oh, Vince McMahon is the man. You gave me my job. Thank you, Triple H. Thank you, Paul Levesque. Blah, 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 blah." That kills me, man. That really, really chaps my ass. It really does. These fucking two-faced, bipolar geriatrics, you know? Pisses me the fuck off. It really, really, really does. And I was going to say something about it on social media, but I said, you know what? I'll save it for the open mic night. So, anyway, let's see what else is going on here. Batista has been doing the rounds. The 007 movie, The Spectre. I'm a big 007 fan, so I'm happy about the movie. I'm probably going to go see it maybe next week. Because I'm going to be recording the Star Wars stuff this weekend. So that's why we haven't done... Lou and I have been super busy, but... I'm a big James Bond fan. I have all the movies. And Batista's a heel in the movie, and I know he's filming a kickboxing movie, and he's doing Guardians of the Galaxy. So he's doing his rounds, you know? Not a bad guy, and you can tell he's humble. You know, you could tell he's definitely was not happy with his last run in the company. You know how they brought him in as a face? He wanted to be a face, wanted to be a heel, and they brought him into that shit, you know, Daniel Bryan thing. He's happy doing movies. The guy's up, he's not really old, but he's old enough. You know, he's in his mid to late 40s now, I think. And, everybody's like, oh, bring him back. What are you going to bring him back for? Can you write him in? You're only going to write him in if he's happy with his character. He wants to be a heel. So I don't even think he has time because, like I said, he's doing all these movies. And I'm happy for him, man. He did very well in Guardians of the Galaxy, and I'm sure he'll do well in The Spectre. I'm a big 007 guy, like I mentioned. And I know this is Daniel Craig's last movie. I'm dying to see who they're going to use as the next Bond. Maybe they'll use a brother. If not, you know, the wrestling call and show will cry about it, but... maybe they'll use a brother, hopefully. Either way, I mean, they're good movies. They're fun if you're into that spy shit. I like the cars and the gadgets and the pussy he gets. I mean, it's fantastic. From Roger Moore to Sean Connery, Timothy Dalton, like, you know, all those cats. I'm big into it. Bobby Lashley's fighting Thompson and Bellator on Spike. I can care less. I'm not a big Bobby Lashley guy at all. I'm waiting to see CM Punk get his face caved in. Another thing, CM Punk running his mouth on Twitter again. That was pretty funny. He put a tweet up to Samoa Joe with the WrestleMania sign. Like, point to that. They like that. You know, look, listen. Again, I really don't dislike CM Punk. I thought he was amazing. I loved his character. We have a lot in common, except he's more of a dick than I am. We have the same type of music tastes. We both love comic books. Growing up the same way, him and I, you know, I feel like I have a connection to CM Punk in a lot of ways. However, I'm not a dick. Well, I am a dick, but I'm not a dick like him. You know, at least maybe because I'm a little older now, but he's just, again, waiting for fucking just something to get himself attention on social media. Listen, you're 36 years old, you walked away at the top of your career in your line of work, right? Now you want to go try something else. Go try something else. Shut the fuck up. Seriously, shut the fuck up. I mean, it's not... Nobody cares. You know the marks are going to say shit. You know the marks are going to say some stuff, so... I just don't understand why you have to, tell your peers certain things publicly. Like, if you want to say that to Joe, send him a text message. Skype with him, you know? Send him a fucking postcard. Don't do it on Twitter, where you know it's going to get retweeted 4,000 times. We know every dirt sheet on the planet's going to pick it up and throw it on the fucking interwebs. Like, come on, dude. Get over yourself. Seriously, get over yourself. You're not that cool. You know? You're writing for Marvel Comics. You're doing MMA. You're a millionaire. Like, you know, I just shut up. Punk should go to New Japan. He should have went to New Japan 2 years ago, Ted Turner. He should have went there 2 years ago. And you know what? And he may get killed in UFC. I don't want to see him fail. Okay? I want to see him get his face caved in. I didn't say I want to see him fail. I want to see him succeed. Because you know what? At the end of the day, I think it's brave for a person of his stature, or anybody for that matter. I'm in the crossroads myself. I've been doing the same thing for almost 20 years, and I'm getting burnt out. I want to try something different, but I'm afraid to do it because I want to support my family, and I want to be happy. He doesn't have that worry. He's a millionaire. He walks away. He's trying something else, and that's pretty ballsy. You know, it's pretty fucking ballsy. So I give him props for that. However, shut up. Just shut your mouth, man. You don't have to talk. You got a nice piece of ass, too. Like, there's nothing wrong with your life right now, dude. Nothing. You have nothing to worry about. Just shut the fuck up and carry on. You know? Just shut the fuck up and carry on. Okay. 718-878-6394. 718-878-6394 if you want to call in. If you want to Skype, it's one word, throwbacks and awfulness, all one word. Once again, 718-878-6394. Or you want to Skype, throwbacks and awfulness, all one word, and we'll talk some shit. We are going to talk some Seth Rollins and whatever else you guys want to talk about. So that's where I am right now. Let's see. So that's your cue. I'm talking to you, Scott. Scotty!
Philly, what's up, Marla?
Scott!
Yes, buddy.
Yeah.
Again,
what's going on?
Nothing, man. Nothing. Again, thank you so much for the bumper. Dave and I truly appreciate it.
My pleasure, man.
Jimmy Valiant is one of my favorites. Matter of fact, Mikey was rocking his action figure the other day. Uncle Tank gave him a Boogie Woogie Man, Jimmy Valiant, a couple of years ago, so he's got that. Hold on. 867, you're on the air.
Hi, Phil. This is Ted Turner's WCW.
Oh, look at that. I didn't know. I thought you were from Georgia.
No.
Hold on, Ted. Hold on one second. So, Scotty, tell me how you got about getting your bumper from Jimmy.
Walking around a comic convention. It's small. It's just like the second year they're doing it. It grew from last year, though. And walking around, and there's Jimmy V's table. I go up to him. I just start talking to him. I'm like, man, it's great to finally meet you. You know, I've been a huge wrestling fan my whole life. Love it. And he's talking with me. He looks at my stepson, who's 17. He's like 6 foot, like 230, just solid. He's like, you want to wrestle? He's like, nah, I'm good.
He lives in Virginia, Jimmy, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Jimmy V is, you know, he's 73. He's got the old man thing going on. He's, you know, he's got the aches and pains. You can see it when he walks and when he moves.
Sure.
And, you know, he's talking just like, you know, what'd you say? I can't hear you. So we're talking, and he's like, come over to my school. I'm like, the only thing is, I work during the week when it's open. He's like, no, we're only open on Sundays from 12 to 5. So I'm like, great, I'm off on Sundays. We're gonna set up a trip, and we're going to go there, check out his school, the museum, and everything he has set up.
Really? You got a museum?
He does, yeah.
Oh, dude, you got to go and get some pictures, at least. Yeah.
I'm going. And he's like, look, you know, to support the school, I got this DVD. It's a double DVD. It's got matches of me versus Steamboat, Dusty Rhodes, Flair, Vern Gagne, everybody.
Well, Vern trained him, I think.
Yeah, he's like, it's $20, and I'll give you an autographed picture with it. So I'm like, let me ask you a favor. He's like, what's that? I'm like, if I forego the autographed picture, would you cut a promo for my friend's podcast? He's like, yeah, I will.
All right.
So like you said, you know, you get it, and he's old, you know, and this could go either way. And he's been talking to me with that old man voice and the old man movements. He's like, I write down the information for him, what he needs to say, you know, turnbuckle throwbacks, ranty M radio.
Right.
And he's like, go ahead and hit record. So I hit record on my phone, and boom, he turned it on, dude.
Yeah.
People just stopped and stared at him like it was like way back into the 70s when he's cutting a promo.
That's dope.
It was awesome.
Really, really good.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much, bro. I'm sorry. Go ahead, man. Finish.
I'd say that's no problem, man. It was my pleasure to do it.
Oh, man. That's fantastic. Because, you know, I'm sitting there like, you know what? He's one of those guys that, you know, every couple of years you'd watch like NWA or like, you know, Texas, you know, Mid-South, whatever it was on TV at the time. You know how we got you and I got our wrestling fix besides WWF.
Right.
We got like on UHF stations and shit before we had cable.
Yeah.
So, you know, to see him, he was very charismatic, man. He won a shit ton of titles and regional stuff, and he was part of some really good feuds. Matter of fact, I was watching something from 1987. I was watching NWA Saturday Night, and he cut a promo on who the hell was it? Like Gary Hart or something like that. It was pretty funny shit, though. But the Boogie Woogie Man is definitely one of my favorites.
I always enjoyed his promos.
What's that?
I always enjoyed his promos.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Now we got one to last forever.
Oh, yeah. I'll play it all the time.
Yeah, and it was great because, like Phil said, when I emailed him, I was like, yeah, I got Jimmy Valiant to cut you a promo.
That was insane.
And I look at my, like 2 minutes later, I look at my phone and the message just says, what? just like the A's were just like streaming across
because
the
screen. Because I'm a fan, dude. I'm a fan. I'm still a fan. That's why I do this podcast. I'm still a fan.
I mentioned to him that you do the podcast, and if he would be up for an interview, he said, yeah, contact him.
Oh, shit. I could talk to him for hours, man. I would have to.
I know. Yeah, man. How great would that be to have him, the legend himself, on there?
Oh, that'd be fantastic. That'd be fantastic.
I mean, we've had great interviews, but I think that one would be one of the best ever.
Absolutely. What's that?
Yeah, I was all week waiting for you to play for the show.
So what's up, Ted Turner?
Ready?
Jerry Lawler wrote in his book, you know, he had a big-time feud with Jimmy Valiant. They were drawing everywhere, right?
I didn't read Jerry Lawler's book, so... All right, so go ahead. I'm sorry.
And Jerry mentioned, you know, what's it going to take you to stay, Jimmy? And Jimmy said, what about a house? So Jerry Jarrett and Lawler bought him a house, but, you know, he quit maybe 2 weeks later, and he gave Jerry Lawler his key, his house key. So he said that's the way he gave his notice. He gave him the house key.
That's awesome. This was in Memphis?
Yes.
That's insane.
See, where I live, like, I'm an hour from Tennessee, an hour from West Virginia, an hour from North Carolina, 5 hours from Georgia, and just the road, just, you know, up the road to New York and Baltimore. So he was centrally localized to every organization there is at that time.
Yeah. I mean, he was, when I saw him, he was tagging up with Bugsy McGraw and, you know, a bunch of other guys. He did the circuit, man. He was everywhere.
Nature Boy wants you to play the promo again.
All right, I guess. I mean, he could download the show, but I guess let's play it real quick. Was it like 18 seconds? Yeah, hold on a second.
Umesi, this is professional wrestler Jimmy Valiant, the Boogie Woogie Man. Tell my people, my brothers and sisters, don't you dare miss Turnbuckle, Throwback Radio, Rap, EM. Radio. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We got to send him a shirt.
Don't you dare.
Don't you dare. That's right. We got to send him a shirt. We gotta definitely...
And I enjoyed his haircut match with, I think it was Paul Jones at the Great American Bash, in the mid-80s.
Yeah. Great. Paul, the number one Paul Jones. He had a big... That's who he was cutting a promo on. He had a big-time feud with Paul Jones. Because Paul Jones had, at the time when I was watching the, he had Manny Fernandez and Rick Rude as the, as his champions over. They were the World Tag Team Champions. What year was that Great American Bash?
That has to be 86, I believe.
86, right? Maybe we'll do that next summer, man. I loved the Great American Bash. Let's see. Good call, Ted Turner. Let's see that. Let's see. Yeah, Jimmy Valiant defeated Shashka Watley with Paul Jones. Hair versus hair. Good call.
I remember that.
Good call.
He saved his head. Yeah, that was my first ever watching a Turner, you know, NWA tape back then, because I was a WWF guy.
Yeah, you had, and then there was a hair versus hair match, and there was three different matches. There were three different cards. You had July 5th in Charlotte. He beat Shashka Watley, and then July 26th, Paul Jones beat Jimmy Valiant, in Greensboro.
Oh.
Yeah, so there was two. So there was two hair versus hair matches, and Ricky Morton fought Ric Flair in a cage, and then
And
then Ric Flair fought Dusty Rhodes in the cage. So
and he lost the belt.
And he lost the belt. That's
brand
right.
New. That brand new championship gold belt.
The big gold belt. That was the debut of the big gold belt. Ah, oh, this is the
thing was huge.
It still is huge.
Had diamond sparkling back then.
There's a book called The Big Gold Belt that came out last July. We had the guy in an email. I'm going to contact him again. And it's a whole book about the big gold belt.
I think I'm going to get that on Amazon. Thanks for the reminder.
Yeah, I'm going to pick that up. And the guy wanted to come on and talk about the book, but it just never came to pass. So, but man, good memories, man.
That Dusty Rhodes was an excellent booker, booking all these great American bass tours.
Yeah, Dusty, listen, don't make me rehash my Dusty Rhodes episode, man. It hits a sore spot with me. But yeah, man, he was a fantastic booker. We spoke about that in length. Dusty Rhodes was way ahead of his time, and he pretty much transcended how the book was handled after that fact. I mean, he learned from the Grahams. So, I mean,
his mentor, the best guy, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's not a thing where he came into it with a bigger budget and better talent. And nothing against Florida Championship, but when you came to the Crockett's, when you came to Mid-Atlantic, he had everybody. 85, you had Steamboat.
True.
Steamboat, Jay Youngblood, he had Flair, Dusty, the Andersons, the Russians, the Road Warriors. The Midnight Express, the Rock and Roll Express, the Fantastics, the Sheep Herders. I mean, you had primo talent in 85, So it was only fitting that he booked himself in these big-time matches because guy was 300 pounds doing Broadways with Ric Flair,
And he was the top babyface.
Yeah, he was definitely top babyface. And Dusty was nothing short of brilliant. And he will always, I always hold a candle for him, like top five favorite wrestlers of all time.
Me too. I saw him in Montreal, my first ever house show. He had so much charisma. Like, even though I'm way up in the cheap seats, he had so much charisma.
Now, you went to the old Forum, or?
Yes, the old Forum. He fought Big Boss Man in 89.
Yeah. So let me ask you something. You're in that neck of the woods. Did you see all what do you call it? The Rougeau ran wrestling guys, or you saw Dino Bravo
The Rougeaus fought the Rockers in an Iron Man 60-minute, and they were the heels. They were getting booed. The Rockers were getting cheered.
Yeah, that must have been insane.
And Dino Bravo against Jim Neidhart, and they still booed Dino. Not like these days, where they only cheer even though he's a heel in his hometown, right? It was different back then.
Sure. Yeah, but Dino Bravo was a big deal.
Dino Bravo was great back in the day.
Yeah, shout out to Double A, by the way. He's checking in. He's heading over to the Mouse. So, he's heading over to Disney. So, shout out to Double A. Safe travels to
the wine and cheese party, I heard.
Yeah, shout out Double A and safe travels up to the Mouse. I'm actually going to be down there at the end of April of next year, so I'm hopefully him and Tony C can we can all hook up. I already called Tony C is already making the time for me to hang out, so I'm hoping he can have a little rant for him, Do some dinner.
That'd be awesome.
Tony C's great.
Yeah. But getting back to Montreal for a minute, there was a book recently put out about
Mad Dog Midgets and Screwjobs.
Is it good? Have you seen it? Have you read it?
Yeah, it's a good book. It's a good read. Like, so much information in there.
Yeah, so now you check in with the show every week. You think it was something I like, or?
Yeah, you would enjoy it.
I'm definitely gonna enjoy it. And the guy,
pretty interesting. Like, they talk about the Montreal Screwjob with Brett, right?
Yeah.
And at the end, he does the total attendance, like who has the record in Montreal, right? It's Hogan against Don Morocco in 86. They drew 19,000. That's the Montreal Forum record for a wrestling.
Oh, for wrestling, I'll say, because the Habs own that place for 50 years,
Yeah.
So I'm a big hockey fan, too, so I know I'm pretty up on that. I'm glad to be anyway.
Yeah, very nice. Yeah.
But anyway.
Phil and Scott, what do you guys think about, like, Seth Rollins being out 6 to 9 months?
All right. That's a good segue, my friend. Thank you very much. So Seth Rollins tears his MCL and ACL. Whoever's not medically inclined, that is, he tore pretty much every piece of cartilage in his knee.
Yeah. And I want to give him props because he got back up and he powerbombed Kane, you know, all 325, 350 of Kane on a blown knee through a table.
Right, right, right.
I give him his props right there.
I was hoping the Unsilent Majority would be joining me for this because she saw it and we watched a clip and everybody sent me the clip. Everybody, like, texting.
I haven't seen it.
It's online. Somebody put it in. I don't know if you're part of the Facebook group, not the main page,
the
rant group. You got to be a part of that. They posted pictures. I know Rage sent me a clip. Otto sent me a clip, like different like camera angles and stuff.
He finished the match.
He finished the match. It was a good match. Listen, I've said this on my show. You guys know I said it on the rant too. That Seth Rollins has gotten a raw deal in terms of his title run. The guy is really, really talented.
I agree.
You know, he's really talented, but the bottom line is that the title run is shit. Okay?
It definitely is.
Not your regular heel type shit either. It's just a shit run.
I totally agree.
It's just a shit run. So he rips every piece of cartilage in his knee. He's going to be out at least 6 months. They say 9 months. That's for regular folks like you and I who don't exercise.
John Cena would be back 1 month with all the steroids.
Yeah, well, he's probably gay.
Send him to Mexico and give him the stem cells that Flair got. He'll be back next week.
I can tell you this. This opens up a lot of opportunity if it's done properly. Okay, and I was running this. I was sitting at lunch today. And I was contemplating some stuff, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to bring it up on the show tonight, and I'm probably going to piss off some people. When haven't I pissed off people in the past, right?
But hey, look, my motto is if I didn't piss off one person a day, it wasn't worth getting out of bed.
Well, not on purpose, but, you know, my logic is never a fucking... Rick, by the way, Rick from Talk Brunch is in the room. Hello, sir. I think he just put up a link to that. Thank you again, Rick, for letting us have that night in December. But anyway, what the hell is... Yeah, Seth Rollins. So, you know, here's the thing. It opens up a lot of opportunity for a lot of guys if it's done properly. Now, of course, the obvious choice would be Roman Reigns because he was picked as the next guy. Now, I don't know if that's going to come to pass. I don't, and you know how I feel about WWE. They're not ready to give the torch yet to the next guy. They're not, clearly, because they had so many guys in the fold. You have Cesaro, you had The Miz, you had Kevin Owens, Randy Orton's hurt. They bring Del Rio back. They're not going to put the face of the company on Del Rio. He's not that kind of guy, you know.
They just changed the WrestleMania plans too, Phil.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm sorry, taking a sip of my soda. Absolutely, man, they did. And you know what? I like that. I like that, Ted, because I'll tell you why. I feel like a lot of the stuff obviously is written way in advance. But it's shit writing, obviously. It's not like, you know, the inmates no longer control the asylum. It's these Hollywood people. They write all this shit, you know? But here's where I'm going with this. Now, you know, the obvious choice would be Roman Reigns, right? And you can make him, a heel, and have him join the authority. And now that sets up Rollins to come back as the face, saying, "Hey, man, what the fuck?"
Like, that's a great idea.
Like, I'm the guy that you chose to be the face of this company. I get hurt, and you bring Roman Reigns, and now he's the baby face.
Seth is an incredible pay-per-view performer, and he does all these spots. You know, the fans love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he does that superplex roll through into another suplex.
Listen, his stuff in Ring of Honor was fantastic.
I loved his feuds with Aries.
Yeah. His stuff in Ring of Honor is fantastic. Was he Tyler Black, right? Is that what his name?
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, Tyler Black.
Here's my second scenario, and this is where I'm going to piss people off, and I'm hoping that the Wrestling Colon Show kids are listening to this, because this would be a fucking hot-button topic tomorrow night.
Yeah, I'll listen to it then.
Listen to this. Make John Cena the fucking authority. Make John Cena the new corporate Kane. Put the suit and tie on him. Make him the fucking authority. Make him the heel. Finally turn him heel. Make him the bad guy.
I would love it.
Before he retires, yeah.
You know, Double A saying that the injury is a blessing for Seth. His return will be on par with Triple H's in 02 at the Garden, which I was there for. And that's a good point, Double A.
That's when he tore his bicep, right?
Yeah, I was at that. That's the last time, besides the Ranger playoff game, that the Garden was almost fell apart, screaming and loud.
Kurt Angle's doing color on Bellator on Spike.
Yeah, zero fucks a given, dude. I can care less. I love Kurt Angle, but I'm not a big Bellator guy. Anyway, moving right along.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, man. Make John Cena the heel. Give him the suit and tie. Give him the make Triple H makes him his boy. And that would fuck everything up. Because now, here's the face of the company who's now a heel. And now you can throw Roman Reigns at him. You can throw Dean Ambrose at him. You can throw Seth Rollins at him when he comes back. You can even throw Brock Lesnar at him when he comes back. Like, that's what I'm talking about. Surfer, what's going on, my man?
Hello. You mentioned,
what's up, Surfer?
What's up, peoples? You mentioned Cena.
Thanks for taking my phone call, Phil. I'll be calling again.
Ted, good looking out, man.
Ted, you have a good night.
Thank you, brother. Thanks for calling in, man.
See you, Theodore.
All right.
So you mentioned making Cena heel. If you did that, would you give him a monster run as a heel champion, or would it be a few months and then somebody will take it from him?
I don't know. But my logic is, and Double A's texting me, that Cesaro is going to be the champ.
He's been saying that for 3 years now.
Listen,
leave that alone.
Yeah, all I'm saying is that if you make Cena the focus, you could pull this out till Mania. Like, and then you have the Rumble, who's gonna determine who the number one contender is. You can give Reigns a monster push. Ambrose, Cesaro, Kevin Owens, any of these guys who's all had a history with John Cena. And your validity of guys getting dumped or getting de-pushed after the fact of Cena, after they fight Cena, you know how it is to get buried.
See, I think that's too short of a run. If you brought him back now, made him heel, gave him the belt, and he carried it into Mania, in most cases, yeah, that's a nice run. But for his case, you really got to stretch that out. You got to make people hate him. So not just the people that just are tired of his act, but, like, everybody has to...
Well, how about this? 5 months, he'll be the champ. At that point, he'll be champ 5 months, right? If he wins it now and goes to Mania, he'll be champ 5 months. You have enough time, like, plenty of time, to have him hated. He'll break Flair's record! He'll break Flair's record.
That's the one thing I have. Him winning the belt in a tournament.
But and then if he drops the belt at Mania, then what happens to him? Does he then automatically turn back to being face?
No. He finds himself. You have to break the authority up. It's not gonna break up in one night. You know, you can even have him fight Triple H after that. Like, him and Triple H can have a disagreement. He can fight Triple H. Double A saying Cesaro will be a shocker like Big Show. 99 series had Big Show win the title unexpectedly, shocked everybody. Yeah, absolutely. I love Cesaro. I think Cesaro is amazing. I love Cesaro. I love him better as a tag team wrestler. He was great.
Oh, he's a great, great performer.
I just don't know if they want to put... Vince doesn't like him. That's what sucks about it.
Now, but yep. The thing is, were they going to give the belt to Reigns this month? You think he was going to win
No.
That Steph was going to keep the belt.
Yeah.
So yeah. You think they're going to give it to him now?
I think so. Because or Sheamus cashes in.
I was going to say, do you give it to just anybody? You know, just, you know, throw it up there and then Sheamus cashes in?
Yep. You could do that, too.
They're going to have a tournament. They're going to have a tournament for the belt. They're going to have a tournament to take on Roman Reigns for the belt.
For the belt.
All I'm saying is that, you know, with the Cena thing, it would be amazing. I say that because he is the do-all, say-all of this company. You know, it wouldn't be the first time. You know, Vince is getting 2 threes on the ratings. They're not getting enough buys on pay-per-views. They're not getting the network buys. Make him the fucking heel. And I'm telling you guys, as crazy as it sounds, that would be... It would probably flip the script on everything across the board.
I wouldn't do it unless he's going into SummerSlam next year as champion.
And you can. You can, Surfer.
But we know... That would mean that Sheamus is not going to be champ.
No, he could be a transitional champ too. You know what? You can even give it. How about this? Now that I'm thinking about this, I have more time to think. Sheamus wins, cashes in. He's the transitional guy. They bring Cena back as the authority. Like Triple H comes out and is like, "Oh, I have a guy. He's going to help me take back what I need. He's going to help me run this company and blah, 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 blah." Like, you could do that too. You can hype him and keep him on his hiatus for a couple of more weeks.
Now, do you think he'll come back?
Well, no. I mean, he's scheduled to come back like Christmas week in New York. The 26th.
So he won't. He's not going. You don't think they can get him to come back early?
They can, but I mean, he's... I know he has a couple of obligations. I know he's filming some shitty reality show, right?
I don't know what he's doing. He's probably just banging the shit out of Nikki Bella all over every hotel room in America.
Yeah, Rick is saying that flip Reigns, let them feud. I think it would work. Or Ziggler wins, Sheamus cashes in. Again, all really good. If they want to switch to a baby face, I'd love it if they do it with Ambrose. He's underrated and underutilized. I agree with that, too. I'm just saying, like, you want to just, if they want to go outside the, if they want to be unsafe, if they want to take a chance like they did in 97 and 96, give it to John Cena. So what? You don't sell enough t-shirts. I mean, the guys, it's stale now, you know, and they the fans would love him. They hate him. They would love him as a heel.
I would love it.
Corporate Cena, not the Duganomic Cena, corporate, like shirt and tie, you know, proper speaking, yes sir, no sir, all business, even change his attire a little bit. Don't give him the jean shorts no more, you know what I'm saying? Don't make him fight in his slacks like fucking Kane did.
You want to make so many little kids out there cry at night, man.
Come on, Surfer.
You're a monster, Phil.
So I am a monster, but come on, dude. Throw the older fan a bone. Like, throw the older fan a fucking bone for once, man. Like,
I'm just saying, if you're going to go hard with it.
Hell,
I mean,
yeah, go hard. I'm just...
maybe even surpass what Punk did as champ, like, as far as days. I mean, like, really...
Hell, yeah. And you can even...
They had Rollins set for that.
You can even throw Flair in there, like, Flair can come out, I can't believe... Because, you know, him and Flair are boys. You know, like, hey, I can't believe you broke my record, but now you're like this corporate suit.
Yeah, have all old time champions.
Oh,
come down.
Yeah,
like, what are you doing?
What do you do? What's wrong with you, dude? What about the cripple kids? You know.
Yeah.
Double A say not enough time for a proper turn. Okay, so make him the mystery guy. You know, make him the mystery guy. Make him. You know, have a transitional champion, and then bring Cena back from his hiatus. And that sets him off. You got to admit, though, it's a good idea. Unless anybody want to disagree, I mean, that's fine, too, you know, but.
No, I mean, that would be great. He comes back, say, you know, at the Rumble, he wins the belt. Triple H comes out, like, and they're just staring at each other, and they, you know, they hug. That would be awesome.
What about, like, putting it on a young guy? And I don't mean young, like, age, right, but, you know, like.
Like Kevin Owens?
Like. Owens, Ambrose.
Yeah, I have no issues with that. I have no issues with that.
Let me ask you this question. Who on the main roster right now, I was trying to figure this out, would be believable as champ? Who do you think is ready for it?
You know, if they gave Bray Wyatt the belt with the rest of the fam, like making sure he holds on to it no matter what, how much heat would that bring down on them?
They're doing him dirty, though, man. He comes in, he picks a feud, starts the feud, loses the feud, gets buried, comes back. They keep recycling him.
Yep.
Like, you can't – he's so good that they're holding him back. You know?
He's the only one that I would be – that I would sit here and say, I buy you as champ. Ambrose, no, it would seem too pushed. Same with a lot of them. Ziggler, maybe. You know, he's been there.
Double A saying, for it to work, Cena has to win as a face and turn early in a run. Again, not a problem. As long
like
as...
I just said, you know?
Yeah, it's not a problem. 718-878-6394, you want to call in. Skype.
Double A, please don't text and drive.
Yeah, seriously. No, I'm hoping he's not driving. He's a good driver. But anyway, but seriously though, 878-6394 or Skype Throwbacks and Awfulness.
Go ahead,
Surfer.
Is there anybody in NXT you can see coming out of nowhere and
Joe or James Storm?
Joe.
That's it.
Yeah, I don't see James Storm coming up. I see Joe though. If you
like,
bring
doing what Paige did, you know?
I don't see Joe because he just turned on Balor the other night.
That don't mean anything, though. NXT is its own NXT.
To me, if they started that feud, and that's where they were going with it.
Yeah, NXT is nothing. I mean, you could bring up anybody. You know who's ready to come up, too? Baron Corbin. But I don't see...
Oh, he's awesome.
But I don't see him as a world champion, either. But again, like, I would be so... there's so many guys, man. There's so many guys you could put the belt on right now. But thinking out of the box, if you want to revamp the entire industry, if you want to set a tone or precedent, you have... You could John Cena is what 36 years old. 30. I mean, he only has a couple of more years in him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it's around that time where you can do the Hogan thing and be like, all right, screw the fans. You don't like me anyway. You know, I'm done. And it would make sense. And listen. There's no more kayfabe. I'm sure the make a wish thing would still go down. I'm sure they'll find other guys to make a wish with and. He's already shattered the record, but I think with the breaking of Ric Flair's record of title runs, I think with the fact that Randy Orton's hurt, now Seth Rollins is hurt, and we need a heel. We need a heel, like a bona fide heel. And if you're not gonna make Bray Wyatt that guy, who's gonna be the guy? Don't give me Kane.
You need to make it Sheamus.
Then don't give me fucking Kane. Don't give me Big Show. Don't give me any of these guys.
Now, who could they do a Del Rio and just bring somebody off the street that no one saw coming?
For Del Rio?
No, like they did with Del Rio.
Oh.
Like a Jericho, bring him in, bring him back.
I don't want to
see if Jericho showed up. That wouldn't be too big a surprise.
He's
wrestled lately.
AJ Styles would be huge if they did it.
Yeah, but you know what? He's another guy who's around the same age as John Cena. So if they bring him in, like, he's not going to take... First of all, he's set. They're going to put, you know... I mean, New Japan's already got him committed. Ring of Honor's got him on some dates, too. He's making a ton of money over there. I mean, and...
Oh, I know.
So there's no one like Ring of Honor? It'll
be AJ.
That you would bring over right away and slap the belt on him?
Ring of Honor, there's... You know what? I'd bring... If I had a chance to raid Ring of Honor's... Their roster, I would take Adam Cole in a minute. Lee, if you're listening, I'm sure Leah would agree with me. You bring Adam Cole in, he's an awesome heel.
Adam Cole
would be the guy.
I would even bring even Jay Briscoe.
Yeah, but I want them as a tag team. I want them to come in as a tag team, you know? Double A saying there's a good chance WWE will go to a route of Undertaker winning and holding the title until Mania, dropping the title to the next big star. If that guarantees Undertaker going home and getting his Hall of Fame and just going home, then I'm all about it. I don't want to see him with the belt either. But again, if you tell me a good story and if they're gonna hold the belt and then have him drop it at Mania. He's only gonna have one or two title defenses between now and Mania if he wins. Right? Because after this, you have, what is that? What's the next pay-per-view?
TLC.
TLC. Rumble. Then the Rumble. Then you have
Fastlane
in 48, and then Mania, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
What about Sting?
Oh, man. Hold on a second. Now I have to play it. Thank you.
Sting.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, do you put the belt on Sting and have him fight and have Sting fight Taker? And then John Cena comes in as the heel still, like he's the corporate guy to beat Sting. I could see that happening too. But then you have so many young guys.
I know, but now you're talking about 8 months of not putting it on one of your new guys. It's all wrestlers.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just there's so much to, like, you know. I don't know. I really don't. There's so many guys you can do it with. There's so many guys: Cesaro, Owens, Bray Wyatt, Dean Ambrose. Like, there's so many. Big E Langston. Yeah. You could put Big E. Give Big E a run. He's white hot right now. Give him a run. I love Bob Blacklin.
Take the belt off of ADR and put him on it.
I don't want to make ADR the champion right now.
I wouldn't go for it because he's still a AAA champion, and doing that, being champion of two companies, is just ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of ADR as is. So here's a guy that they
he could carry it. I mean, you know, he's been champ before.
That's not my dispute. He was one of those guys that was good for the time. I just don't. I mean, if you're gonna make a splash right now, like, I don't. Alberto Del Rio is not the guy you make a splash with. He's not. Unless I'm wrong.
I mean, the fucking fans love the hell out of him.
Dude, if you see, that's the thing, man. They blew their wad with him. Do I want to see it? Absolutely. Fuck yeah, I'd love to see it.
Ziggler gets hurt too, you know.
He is a little injury prone. True that. But I mean, you know, you're right, Scott. They dropped the ball with him so many fucking times, man. So many times they dropped the ball with him. So.
And the fans love him. He's definitely a fan favorite, and they would definitely go for it.
Yeah, absolutely. You guys are going to hang on the phone for a minute or what?
Yeah, I'll hang on.
Sure. I like hanging out with my buddy.
All right, listen, I'm going to take a quick leak and play. If you guys want to mute your mics real quick, and then I'm going to come back and we'll do some more chatting and some fantasy booking, if you don't mind.
Okay.
All right. Right back. We got a Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Surfer from What Are You Reading is on with us, and Scott, our buddy Scott from way back, and let's plug some friends, and we'll be right back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
You ready to fight? Then step into the ring and take on Sting. There's me and my rival, Ric Flair, and there's the total package, Lex Luger. Check out the toughest tag team around, the Steiner Brothers. These WCW action figures are just as tough and as mean as we are.
Rick pulls for the knee drop. Can Sting escape? Oh, he's going to finish him off with the body slam.
The WCW wrestlers each sold separately from Galoo.
I dare anybody to take us on.
Yes, wrestling-news.com. That's right, wrestling-news.com. Check out the Don, Tony, and Kevin Castle show every Monday live at 11:15, right after Monday Night Raw. Join Don, Tony, and my pal Kevin Castle as they just do it like they've been doing it for almost a decade. So check them out, wrestling-news.com. Doing it big, doing it New York style, wrestling-news.com.
Hey, when you're done listening to this podcast, go head on over to soundcloud.com/shellstruck-network. Listen to shows such as DJ Sportscast, Nerd Otaku, Shell Pod Extra, Shell Pod Theater, and the mothership, Shell Pod. We're a wrestling podcast, sports podcast, pop culture podcast. Whatever you want out of podcasts, head on over to soundcloud.com/shellstruck-network. soundcloud.com/shellpod-network. Once again, that is soundcloud.com/shellpod-network.
Hey everyone, this is Justin Anderson, one of your hosts from the Inconclusive Breakdown Podcast, where each week we break down the news in the world of geek culture, entertainment, professional wrestling, sports, and music. We also give our spin on the typical top 10 lists and fan cast our own movies. That's the Inconclusive Breakdown Podcast, available on iTunes, Stitcher, or download from inconclusivebreakdown.libsyn.com.
Every Friday, the 80s and 90s are back on The Midnight Jury. Available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and TuneIn Radio, The Jury transports you back to the days of Walkmans, VHS, arcades, and malls. Covering the best in pop culture, pro wrestling, and horror, from reviews to interviews and everything in between, we want you to get on board every Friday and travel back to the last old school generation. The Midnight Jury is a production of WLWStudios.com and a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
The following announcement has been paid for by the Ike World Order.
Forget about that. You just brought up
Gary Hart will whip his ass.
Tony C just brought up Ike Turner. How awesome was Lawrence Fishburne in that movie?
Oh, excellent.
I'm sorry to get off topic, but he was amazing.
Play that role. Nah. I got San Antonio. Nah. I can have you. Stop now.
Ike said he only hit her once.
He beat her with a shoe.
He said he only smacked her once.
He smacked her once, but he hit her with everything else.
I hit her with everything, but the kitchen sink now, dog. But I'm saying.
Do you see that? You see that look in his eye?
Natty is more of a man than Rage.
Ooh, wait a minute now.
Oh, yes, works.
Wait a second. This is the co-host of the Wrestling Colon Show. Yes, sir.
That was all so right. Disrespectful.
Alright,
I can't have you.
That's
you,
why
you
your girl's about,
like,
that's why your girl's about to get eliminated from the Amazing Race.
You see that? I've never questioned your manhood, Rage.
Bullshit, you didn't, surfer.
Tony.
You never ever question your manhood.
Trying to help out.
No, you did it. Yo, you always do it.
How?
The preceding announcement has been paid for by the Ike World Order. The Wrestling Call-In Show, every Saturday evening on RantEMRadio.com.
Hey, this is Innovative Selfie, Sonny Ono, on Turnbuckle Throwbacks, and it's the best information on professional wrestling.
Yeah. All right, we're back. I like Seth Rollins' music. All right. Turnbuckle Throwbacks live, rantemradio.com is the spot. On your Roku, your PlayStation, your sister's boombox.
American Armed Forces Radio.
American Armed Forces Radio. Tune in. Scotty hanging out with us, Surfer from the What Are You Reading comic book show, and the Rant. And we're fantasy booking right now. 718-878-6394. 718-878-6394. You want to add us on Skype, Throwbacks and Awfulness, all one word. I know it's long, but I don't give a shit. That's it. Shout out to Greg Jones and Shell Pod Network, all those other guys, check them out. I just gave him their, he sends me a plug with no music. I'm like, dude, he sends me like this 30-second plug. I'm like, dude, give me that. So I added music to it. I just couldn't play it with no music, you know? But yeah, shout out to Greg. He's a fan of the show, doing his own thing. TalkBrunch.com. Listen to everybody. Support everybody we support because you'll be better off for it. So I'm going to let this play in the background. I like it. It's angry. And the picture on YouTube is him with his Power Ranger gear on when he won both belts.
the white and gold that night.
White and gold Ranger.
New Day wore white and gold and won the belts too.
New Day? I just saw a meme before. It says, 80s wrestlers drank booze and did drugs. Current roster plays PlayStation. There's a bunch of them in the room playing. It's Seth Rollins, Curtis Axel, New Day, Miz. They're all playing fucking PlayStation. It's pretty funny.
Have you ever seen Woods' podcast, Up, Down, Down?
No.
He does it on YouTube. It's a channel, and he has, like, video game tournaments, and he interviews wrestlers while he's on there.
Who's Seth Rollins?
No, Xavier Woods.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's cool. Up, Up, Down, Down, huh? The old Konami.
Yep.
It's awesome. Awesome.
And one night while he was playing the trombone when they won, he started playing the Final Fantasy VII victory song.
From the original PlayStation.
Yep.
Yeah. That was the last Final Fantasy game I played.
Me too.
That and fucking, you know what I was big into? And I wish Jamie would call in. You know, remember our girl Jamie, right?
Frank's, Jamie Monk, yeah.
Yeah, Frank's wife.
Yep.
Jamie and I used to hang out at her mom's house with Hempy and all them. We used to play fucking Chrono Trigger. Remember that game?
Nice.
That game was mint. Yeah. Super Nintendo.
I remember hanging out at Five's house playing 007 with Will and Joe.
Oh, 007. Oh. You know what I wish? I want elevator action back.
Elevator action was a great game.
Yeah. Speaking of 007, you're going to see the movie?
Absolutely, I am.
I saw it the other day.
I want to check it out.
My boy Chris just brought me the box set of all the movies. I'm going to back them up to my hard drive and put them on my iTunes so I can stream them on my Apple TV. But nice. I'm excited, man. I like the Bond movies.
It's lukewarm on this one.
Yeah, lukewarm. Well, did you see it yet or no?
Yeah, I saw it the other day.
And?
Well, I've never a big Bond thing. So they're all the same to me. I mean, you know, some people are saying that this is not that good, and it's not what they want out of Daniel Craig Bond. I would have to say that the villain didn't seem all that menacing to me.
Is that Batista?
No, Christoph Waltz's character.
Okay.
Batista, he was just strong, solid, you know, fighting Bond. That's all. He didn't take much acting on his part.
Yeah. Who was your favorite Bond?
I don't have a favorite. I mean, you know, I grew up during the Roger Moore.
So did I.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I said, as far as I'm concerned, they're all the same to me. It's, you know, you pull out some gadgets, rape some women, that's Bond for you.
It's fun to watch. I mean, I can't. Some of them, like, I didn't get into some, like, the Timothy Dalton ones, I really wasn't a big fan of, Pierce Bronson, whatever. But I watched them.
I
watched
them.
Roger Moore's my favorite, obviously, because we all grew up in the same era. I'm so excited. I got this box set from my boy Chris. Shout out to Chris, by the way. He's one of my wife's friends.
That's a better question. Who's your favorite Bond girl?
That's Money Penny, you whore. but no, my favorite is Moonraker, dude. That was my favorite fucking Bond movie. I remember getting. Back in the day, we had a mom and pop store. It was called Dirty Mary's, right, on Myrtle Avenue. And Dirty Mary's was like this store that sold everything. You could buy keys. You could have your keys made there. You could buy like mops and brooms and like you could buy like you know, like nails and like you could buy anything in the store. It's like a novelty store, you know.
The first dollar store.
Well, yeah, they weren't. Technically, it was it wasn't a dollar store, but it was like a general store, pretty much. You can buy anything in this store and her name was Dirty Mary. She looked like a really skanky looking Vicki Lawrence from Mama's Family, you know. And it was like. Like you get your keys made there, like I said, you would like, and they had a rack. Now back in the day, and we're all around the same age now. Right now on this call, Matchbox had like if you went into a store that didn't sell toys, you know, like or card stores or like you know novelty card stores, Matchbox had like racks on the wall, and you could pick out your car, like the Matchbox or Hot Wheels car that you wanted. Mm-hmm. Matchbox had a set of Moonraker cars from the movie. And I had the whole set. That was like my jam right there. So
now, they actually did Hot Wheels right now. Is doing all the Bond cars.
Oh, dope!
At Walmart, they're 94 cents. They have Star Wars cars too.
Yeah, I think
I bought a couple of the Star Wars cars, the First Order and the Resistance from the new movies.
wifey is getting like this 2-hour fucking massage and all this crap like in Bayonne on Sunday. And I'm debating skipping football and going to Wally World while she's doing her thing. But I can't spend 2 hours in Walmart, dude. You know? So.
No, I hear that. That's kind of.
Yeah.
Oh, you know you got to play the song when you say Wally World, right?
Oh, the Vacation? National Lampoon's?
No. There's a rap song.
Oh, I. Do I have to?
Never heard it.
What's it called?
It's called Wally World.
Yeah, Wally World? Hold on. I'll look it up. I got a YouTube open. Hold on. Wally World. Who sings it? Is it popular? Is it
it's some nobody. But the video is just so ghetto.
It's WALLY, Wally World? Oh, Shake Team. Okay, hold on. Oh, no, maybe inappropriate. I have to. Oh, come on. I don't want to sign in. Yeah, fuck. Ghetto official, Mr. Ghetto. Okay. Again, I don't want to sign in.
You want me to play it?
No. Hold on. I'll find one. Are you fucking serious right now? I got to sign in? You cocksucker. Hold on. Talk amongst yourselves.
Sir, did you hear the promo, the Jimmy Valiant promo?
No, it was at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, and Phil, you played it in the middle. Yeah, it was at the very beginning when he opens, and he played it again.
Yeah, I kind of tuned in like a few minutes late because I had walked in like a little after 9, so.
Yeah, go back and listen. I got Jimmy Valiant to cut a promo for the show.
Nice. I got a listener on the download.
All right, let's see here. Yeah.
Walmart, all the women being Walmart.
Come on, so you go there. You're going to hear that song now.
Holy shit. This is something that they play on Tuesday nights on a rant. What? Wow, these chicks got some fucking asses on them. Sweet Lord.
Number, I still can't figure out how they got away with filming that in the middle of a fucking Walmart.
What's your name? What's your number, girl?
That's probably why the Walmart's by my house now. Like, you cannot take videos or pictures in the store.
This wasn't like a run-in. Like, they filmed like a minute and they ran out. They filmed like a
They filmed the whole thing in here. You ain't lying. And these chicks, oh, man, they're twerking. You can bounce it off the asses. Pull your pants up, dude. You're going to get a fucking belt at Walmart. That's where I get my belts. That bugs the shit out of me, man.
And that's 4 years old.
Pick your fucking pants up. Why do they wear their pants half off the ass still? All right, I got to cut this off. I'm getting too preoccupied with these big black asses in front of me.
So you're going to be hearing that song as soon as you hit the door.
I'm going to put that shit on my iPod. I'm going to put it on my phone. I have 128 gig now. Wally, 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 wally. Oh, man. God, pull your fucking pants up, dude. I hate that. That irks the shit out of me. I saw a dude last night, like, legit. Pants were on his knees. Like, what is that? Like, why do you want to show your underwear off to everybody? Like, nobody cares, dude. You're 110 pounds soaking wet.
I mean, they've been doing that shit since, what, like, early 90s. I remember in high school when I had that.
It irks the shit. And one leg up, too. That irks the shit out of me.
One leg with sweatpants.
Any pants, yeah. Oh, it's the worst.
What's worse, men or women doing it?
Both, dude. I don't discriminate. Pull your fucking pants up, man. Just put a belt on. It's not rocket science. Like, nobody wants to see it. Like, the chicks do it, and their fucking thongs are out. Like, nobody wants to see it.
Go get 22-inch fucking rims for a week and buy a goddamn belt.
Everybody I see, it's just all crack.
I saw a chick, no joke. I saw a chick the other day. She's got to be in her mid-20s. Got a couple of kids. She didn't do her hair. She had it in a do-rag because she didn't want to do her hair today. But she had sweatpants on, right? And they're hanging half off her ass. And she doesn't even at least put nice panties on. These were all like not like stained, but like dirty. Like they were dirty, like granny panties. I didn't have shit stains on them or anything like that, you know? But like, come on, man. You got kids? Pull your fucking pants up. Do your hair. Get a better weave. Come on, man. Ain't that hard. I'm fucking 300 pounds. I dress better than you. And I take my time. Keep my shit tight. Oh, God. All right. That's my Wally World. Pull your pants up rant, I guess, for the night. Which should have been nice. Should have put that on Lee's page. Let him do it on Tuesday night.
I think we've seen that video.
That's a Freaks and Effing Geeks fucking video right there, Surfer.
I did post that in the group like way early on. Like,
I don't even remember. I'm sure I saw it. I just, you know, sometimes I Dave puts stuff up and he gets mad because I'll just hit like and I won't watch it. I just keep my friends to a higher standard. So if you're putting up something and it's good, you know, I just hit like. I hold you guys to a higher standard. Don't take it as a disrespect. That's right, Rick. Hashtag bitch pull your pants up. That's what I'm talking about. Hashtag that shit. At TBuckleTBacks on Twitter. Cheap plug. There you go. Oh, man. All right, so what else is on the docket, fellas?
What happened? What's been going on? I mean, we talked about the Rollins thing. What else? I don't know. Oh, I'm sorry about your Mets, Phil.
Yeah.
I'm just glad it's over because they're dragging this baseball season out too long.
You're bugging.
If it's going into November.
Dude, I wish I had baseball all year long. It's that.
Me too.
I love it. You know what? Maybe because I don't know. You're obviously a Phillies fan or no?
I used to be.
All right, so I guess if your team was in it, you'd probably be more invested.
I don't know. The Phillies, to me as an organization, has just done too much wrong, in my opinion, for me to be, you know, invested in them. I mean, I was happy when they won the championship a couple years ago, but.
Well, they got a new GM. And
because he was messing up. You know, the guy before him left him a good team. He whittled it down to bullshit. So
they got a new GM. He's a Northeast guy. He's from Massachusetts. He was on the MLB today. The guy's got like mid-30s, late-30s, or whatever it is. And he's a firm believer of just getting shit done again. So hopefully, I mean, I don't want them to win because I hate them because they're my rival. But, I mean, as a baseball fan...
You want it to
be interesting, of course. You want them to get better players. You want to see them get better just for a rivalry. You know, and Philadelphia, they're as much as they hate their fans, they're they're probably the most passionate. And they probably are the most knowledgeable fans, you know, in certain sports, you know. So
yeah.
You want them to do good, you know. You want for the rivalry, so... And I'm a big fan of the park, so I try to visit there at least every other year.
Yeah, well, the park is nice.
It is nice. It really is nice. It's better than the vet, dude. And I was going to the vet in the 90s. I told you that already.
Well, at that point, the vet had been purposely neglected by the teams so they could get something new.
Of course.
Yeah. You know, the Indians started all that shit with the new stadiums.
You see, my big deal was on with social media. I have the undaunting task every year of defending myself against Yankee fans, and I really shouldn't have to. And you've heard me complain about the stupid inner city sports rivalries, you know?
Oh yeah.
You know, here's the thing, I don't dislike the Yankees. I dislike Yankee fans. I was even employed by the New York Yankees for 4 years. So like I worked for the organization as a first responder. You know what I'm saying? Like as part.
You ever talked to George?
No. I spoke to. I was really cool with the team doctor. I met Joe Torre a bunch of times, which I loved because he's a National League guy. No matter how many championships he won with the Yankees, he brought the National League style to the Yankees, and that's why he won all those championships. But I met Joe Torre, his whole family, like his brother, his sister's a nun. I met the whole Torre family. I got cool with the team doctors, the trainers. I took Scott Brosius to the hospital one time because his arm was bothering him, you know. But, like, you know, they're a classy organization. And you can't compare 110 years of baseball to 54 years of baseball with the Mets. You can't. There's no comparison. You know, you can't compare. And every time you give a Yankee fan an argument, oh, we won 27 championships. We won 27 championships. We won 27 championships.
I'm a Yankee fan. I used to talk shit with, you know, Jim and Five because, you know, your friends talk shit with you.
No, shit-talking's different. Shit-talking's different. But they, when you go on social media and it's like, you know, you have this outlet now, I would get drunk and talk shit. We've all talked baseball with me, you, everybody in the crew.
Yeah.
You know those championships back in the day? That was a different league. You know, most of the teams was all in New York.
Well, you had three teams in New York at the time, for some of the years anyway.
I'm saying it was like baseball wasn't even like a national thing.
No,
like,
no.
Like the West Coast didn't have teams until half the New York and Philly teams went out west.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's it doesn't matter how they won it. They won, and they're the most storied sports franchise next to Montreal Canadiens, and they won the most championships. 27, I think Montreal has 23 cups, but I think it's without looking on the internet. I think it's like, for me, I was like, every day I'm like, oh, defending myself, and I guys don't get it. Like, you know, I got this one kid I went to high school with, and he was just like posting this stupid, oh, the Royals drew more fans this year than the Mets. Because they went to the World Series last year too, you fucking dolt. And the Mets draw $2 million a year, no matter how bad they are, because it's a fucking big, it's a big city. That's the thing, man. Give me an argument. I'll shit talk when they play each other in interleague.
Yeah.
That or the World Series, you know, like this year coming up, the Mets are playing the Yankees on my birthday in Yankee Stadium.
That's awesome.
It's gonna be fun. But like that's when
I went to a Yankee Met game back in '99, dude. I was in the left field bleachers, right above the Mets bullpen. So when they were starting up, Rick Reed was warming up. So I'm sitting there. I abused Rick Reed. I got him to fucking look me in the eye. That's how bad I was abusing him. I was calling him a scab. I was going off on him, and you know, I was every half inning I would get up and walk up in front of the crowd. I had my Mets suck jerk T-shirt on and just chanting. In the seventh inning, Derek Jeter hit a home run right into the Mets bullpen, and I was standing right where, like 10 feet in front of where it landed. And they showed me running through the crowd on Baseball Tonight, and Peter Gammons is like, "Well, the series is in Yankee Stadium, and this is where the lunatics run the asylum." And you saw me running through the crowd. It was fucking awesome. I get back to Biddy Mulligan's and Jimmy.
Oh,
Dan
Biddy Mulligan's! Now you're going back.
Right, I get in there. Jim and Dan are like, "You fuck! You were on TV. We saw you when Jeter hit the home run, and we were cursing at you."
I miss Jimmy so much, man.
I know.
I do. I miss him so much. I have his mask card next to me right now. Actually,
I have it. I have his and Bullets just looking at me.
Yeah, I miss him so much, but. The thing is, too, I got one. I got a, not your story isn't as, you, mine isn't as cool as yours, but I was at the first ever Met Yankee game in '97 in Yankee Stadium. I was banging this chick whose dad worked for the MTA, and they got
nice
tickets in the fucking bleachers, right? So Dave Malicki, of all people, pitches a 6-0 shutout against Andy Pettitte.
Wow,
dude, I was on his 4-train. And I was like beaming. I couldn't even say anything. Like, I can't believe we walked in here, and we beat the fucking mighty Yankees. We stifled them. And I was like, that for me is one of the best games of my life. Even though it didn't mean anything, it was interleague. You know, it was like early in the year. Nobody cares. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was. I don't know.
No, I mean your team won. You know, I went to a Yankee Red Sox game, and the Yankees lost 8-0. But I swear to God, Mo Vaughn's home run still has not fucking landed.
Molicious.
He crushed his grand slam, like, into the upper deck in right field, and it's still going to this
day. They named a sandwich after him at Carnegie Deli when he became a Met. they called it the Molicious. Look it up. It's funny. It's funny. But, yeah, that's why I love baseball. Next to hockey and wrestling, it's my favorite because... Love
very,
it.
Very good to me.
Yeah. Exactly. But but Surfer, you got your team. You know, Philly's got some history, man. You know,
late '70s. Yeah, sure.
Dude, they were fucking amazing. You had Schmitty, Carlton, Pete Rose,
Luzinski.
Yeah, Luzinski. He goes to all the games still.
Lonnie Smith. He was my favorite.
Lonnie Smith was dope.
Did you have still Liz Cano, or was that Cincinnati?
Who?
Sixto Lizcano.
I think he played for a lot of teams. He played for the Cardinals, too, that guy. He was a shortstop, right?
He was a utility infielder.
Yeah. But I remember...
I just love that name.
There's a bunch of cool fucking names in the 70s, man. Davey Lopes was a cool name, baseball name. Neil Allen was...
Al Humphrey.
Yeah. Who's that guy?
Oscar Gamble.
Oscar Gamble with the fucking huge fro. Yeah, but getting back to Luzinski, that dude is like a staple over there. He's got like his own little restaurant over there.
Yeah, barbecue pit.
Yeah, he goes to, and the food's good too. And you mentioned those fries the other night, dude. Chicken
Pizza.
Dude, those fries are amazing. Scott, have you had these fries?
Which ones are they?
Crab fries.
They're crab fries. No. It's just French
fries. Seasoning?
Oh, dude. They sell them by the bucket in Philadelphia at the stadium. Oh man, it's amazing. My mouth is watering right now. Fucking want some.
Yeah, I just remembered Double A's tongue lashing because I put gravy on French fries.
Yeah, well.
You're Canadian, huh?
Who?
No, it's a New York thing.
It's a New York thing. We used to, it's called, back in the day, Surfer, when you went to a club and you went to a diner after the club at 4 o'clock in the morning, the big thing was called, the diners had the thing called disco fries. And it was French fries with gravy and mozzarella cheese melted on top.
I thought that was a Canadian thing.
Nah, it might be, but they called it disco fries here in New York. I know Scott used to go to the Esquire diner, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
It was literally, I walked 4 blocks and was home from there.
Yeah, I used to date a girl on 104th Street and Liberty Avenue. And,
right around the corner for the Cheers.
Yeah. That's how I met all you guys, because of her. Because I dated her, and then she wound up cheating on me. And she's still with the guy she cheated on, actually, something 25 years later. But that's how I met Jamie and Richie. And then I met Ivan. And once I met Ivan, I met Fi and everybody else in the crew. So
Bond Street Cafe, watching Warcraft play.
That's it. Then I was at all their shows, so that's how we met. You and I met at Bond Street, and Cheers.
Yep.
But that was the if you went to a club, wherever you're from, whatever neighborhood you're from, you got back into the neighborhood. Like you guys went to Esquire. I went to Fresh Pond Diner or Maspeth Diner, or I went to George Diner on Queens Boulevard.
I prefer the Sage over Georgia.
Yeah. I just went where I had I didn't drive at the time, so
yeah. Wherever the crowd was going,
you went. Yeah, and then that diner was right across you from McDowell's, Surfer.
Yep.
Yeah, I saw they made McDowell's up for Halloween.
Yeah. It's pretty funny. And the old and then the Elks Lodge is across the street where ECW used to run their shows. So we're doing an ECW pay-per-view in a couple of weeks, so for a throwback. So I'm giving everybody a heads up. Can't wait. It's going to be dope.
That's going to be fun. Which one?
November to Remember. I think it was 95 or 98. I forget which one we're doing. I have to check.
Real quick about McDowell's. You think after coming to America, they opened up some in Zamunda?
Probably. Probably as a franchise, that guy. Probably Semi. Semi probably did it. He's always looking to make some cash. So, that was a great movie, man. Great, great fucking movie.
Great. Did you know that was Eddie Murphy as the old guy?
Of course. What is that, Velvet?
That was Eddie Murphy doing everything, him and Arsenio.
Yeah, Kunta from upstairs. Aha! Good stuff,
sexual
man.
Chocolate.
Taste the soup. Just taste the soup.
Yeah. That's when Eddie Murphy was funny.
Yeah. The whole roaring delirious era.
Oh, man.
I think he could pull something out if he sat down with the right people.
I heard my boss and I were talking about this the other day at work. I heard that there's a rumor that he wants to tour again doing stand-up,
mm-hmm.
and Dave Chappelle's going to open up for him.
What?
Like, I would pay top dollar probably to see that.
Well,
they better put that shit on HBO or something.
That would make him come with some A-list stuff, because he couldn't come out half-assing it if he got Dave Chappelle open for him. Because, you know, Dave Chappelle, he's going to be funny. And 9 out of 10 times, he'll make everybody laugh. If Eddie doesn't come out guns a-blazing, that shit'll just... He might as well just go raise his nine kids or whatever, because he just got his new woman knocked up. So
who, Eddie Murphy?
Yeah.
He's banging some white chick now, right?
Yeah. She's pregnant now, so she's paid for life.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I remember when I first moved out to Staten Island, I was showing, we were doing a Netflix night, just, you know, Netflix and some snacks. And Charlie Murphy had a stand-up. And I figured, well, if Charlie Murphy's funny doing Chappelle, he's got to be funny doing stand-up. And I got it, and it was terrible. I was so disappointed. And I love that guy, you know?
He can be funny, but he's not as funny doing stand-up as his brother. But
yeah, obviously.
He's on Black Jesus.
Obviously. I think he's a better storyteller than he is a comedian.
Y'all don't watch Black Jesus at all, right?
No. Who is that?
No.
It's the same guy that did the Boondocks. It comes on. It's coming on tonight, 11 o'clock on
Adult Swim.
Adult Swim.
Yeah, I've heard of it. I've never seen it.
Right. So, like, one of the deals is he has this homeless person played by Witherspoon living in his house, right? He can't get rid of him.
Right.
So, out of nowhere, this woman knocks on the door, and it's supposed to be his wife, played by Thelma from Good Times, right? Looking good, too.
Yeah.
So, she's like, is Lloyd around? Lloyd's trying to, like, get rid of her. So, Charlie Murphy's character ends up sleeping with her, and he's feeling bad, but he's falling in love with her. So, he wants to tell Lloyd, okay, look, I'm going to be with your wife now, or your ex-wife.
Right.
And she said, well, let's tell him later. I got to go. And she's like ran off. But, you know, her walking in out of nowhere, like nobody knew she was going to be on the show. And like you look at Witherspoon, he is like you could not want to be around. He looked like he stinks so bad on the show. It's not even funny.
Yeah.
But Charlie Murphy, man, he is funny on that show.
I got to check it out. I'll binge watch it. Is it still the first? Was it the first season or no?
Second season.
Then I'll binge watch that eventually. I got an iPad coming, so I'll binge watch it on the iPad. So,
you guys seen the new Star Wars trailer today?
The international one.
International, yeah.
Yeah, of course. Of course, I did.
Some people are saying it's better than the one we got.
I can give a shit at this point. I just want to. I'm very glad that the sick guy got to see the movie, the guy with the cancer.
That he got to see the unedited version. He got to see the director's cut.
Yeah. I'm happy, man, because he's probably not going to make it to Christmas, you know?
Yeah.
So, that's, you know, you would think people give Disney a lot of shit because they, you know, they're Disney. But that stuff, to me, that human stuff, that's just, it's not a kid. Not a sick kid, not somebody in the public eye. It's just some guy, some fanboy like us. Yeah, some fanboy like us who lived it his whole life, and now he can't. Now he's waiting 20 years to see a sequel to the greatest fucking franchise of all, and he may not be able to see it. And they did him a solid. I think that's just classy.
Yeah,
you know,
there is hope for humanity.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there is hope.
The new trailer to me was, I was just wigging out because the extra footage. And sorry, I think Daisy Ridley's pretty fucking hot.
Yeah, we're gonna wrap up Star Wars probably tomorrow. Me and Big Lou. But
oh boy, I'm never gonna get on there.
Yeah, dude. You know what? It's just a scheduling thing. You know, I have to. It's like he, right in the middle of us recording, his job moved. And it was like a big. So he's
like Star Wars.
But we're doing a Christmas special. We're doing a whole bunch of stuff. I'm probably gonna check in the night of I'm probably gonna throw something on the page because I told you they're having a big thing over here with a comic book shop. They have a tailgate, like it's down a block from the theater. So I'm probably gonna go to the tailgate and then I'm gonna shoot over to the theater and then the next day Friday morning I'm keeping Junior out of school and take him.
You got your tickets for Thursday night, right?
I did. Yeah.
Did you surf him?
Yeah. No costumes, no weapons.
Yeah, I know. No, I don't want to dress up. I'm going to be coming from work. I'm not going to fucking...
Well, you can wear the costumes. They just don't want you covering your face. And it's sad that it's come to that.
Yeah.
I know.
In the theater by my house over here, the Regal Cinema where I'm going, they fucking... When I went to see Straight Outta Compton, they had like a whole surveillance thing, man. They had to check your bag and...
Now, see, that's just ridiculous. Because it was a... But NWA doesn't mean that everybody's going to come in and start shooting the place up.
Yeah, especially those colored people.
Nobody shot up the theater when Dark Knight opened because of Batman. That guy was just disturbed.
Yeah, of course.
They're all disturbed. Every one of these people are disturbed.
You know what? I'm a guy that, as a first responder, I get stopped almost every other day at the ferry terminal with the canine crew comes over, they sniff your bag. Like, I that stuff doesn't bother me anymore because it's better safe than sorry. You know what? I'm not bringing anything in there. So if you're going to check my bag, just check it. And they're checking everybody. They're not discriminating. They're not, I can see surface point where it's ridiculous. I agree it's ridiculous. But in the same breath, you know what? Check my fucking bag. I got nothing in there. What are you going to do? You going to pull out my wife's sanitary napkins and her juju beans? You know what I'm saying? So what are you going to pull out? You going to pull out my keys that I keep in her bag? What are you going to pull out? You know, whatever, you know? But you surf has a point, though. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's a valid point. I don't know. But, yeah, I'm excited. I got my tickets. I'm all set. Me and Lou are going to be there. Front row.
Yeah, I can't wait to go.
Yeah. I'm taking a kid.
We actually have reserved seats. We got like the IMAX. We got to pick our fucking seats where we wanted to sit when we bought the tickets.
Oh man, don't remind me because I got my ticket so late. I'm going to be on the second freaking row. I've never sat that close to the IMAX before, and I'm not even in the middle. I'm like on the end.
Oh boy.
So I'm going to probably see a distorted picture.
You might want to pack some that. The kid wants to see it in 3D.
And, I'm going to IMAX 3D.
Yeah, and I said to him, I'm like, listen, I got to see it. I hate watching 3D movies because I get a huge headache. And I want to have a conniption. Like I want to swallow my tongue with a seizure. But
is this the converted IMAX or?
Yeah, so I told him, I was like, if I can get tickets the next day for like a, you know, the IMAX or the 3D, I'll definitely, you know, do it for you. But
Don't have IMAX for the first night?
No, I got regular. I'm not. That stuff doesn't really bother me. I could see it in IMAX if I wanted to. Like I saw Revenge of the Sith in IMAX.
Well, you know, they shot some scenes in IMAX, and you get supposed to be more. You get to see more. If it's not a converted IMAX, but it was built as an IMAX, you'll see more of the picture.
Yeah, maybe I'll take Mikey into the city. Maybe that morning we'll go into the city and see it on IMAX. I'm not. Either way, I'm keeping him out of school. It's like a special day. So,
the IMAX here just opened up like in May.
Yeah, we don't have one on Staten Island. The closest one to us is in Brooklyn, Sheepshead Bay. I'm not going out there. That's like hood, you know.
If this movie comes out and you view it and it more than surpasses expectations, I mean, like you see this as the film of the year, all right? How many more times are you prepared to go see it?
Well, I'm already seeing it twice. So I'm thinking I might see it one more time with the wife.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll maybe three times.
What's the most times you've seen a Star Wars film in the theater?
I saw Jedi twice. I saw Phantom Menace twice. I saw Clone Wars in 3D once. And I saw Revenge of the Sith twice. So no more than twice.
No, I mean, I've seen Jedi twice when it first came out, and then twice when they re-released it.
You know what? I'm sorry, Scott. I'm a liar. I saw all the, when they re-released all the movies, I saw them again. So I've seen all the, I guess, New Hope, Empire, and Jedi. I saw them all again. So that's 2, 4, 6. Like, yeah, I saw a lot of it. But no more than 2 or 3 times per movie.
I think I saw Revenge of the Sith 4 times in the theaters. That's the most.
I had a friend. He saw, like, a New Hope, like, at least, like, once a week for a good 4 months.
When they re-released it?
No.
Oh, when it first came out in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's interesting. Ted Turner saw Jurassic World twice. I didn't like Jurassic World.
You know, every time I go into the store and see the display of, like, the number one movie of the year, I just want to take my marker and write "so far."
It takes me a lot to go to a movie now, man. I just, you know, sometimes I just rather wait for the DVD to come out because, you know, I just don't like people anymore. I don't like
sitting. I don't go to many movies. I can't even tell you the last movie I went to in the theater.
Well, Surfer's a regular. He goes to a lot of movies, but, like, that's like his thing, I guess. It's more like a hobby for you, right, Surfer?
Well, I just like that big screen experience. I mean, I can watch a movie on my television, but
because that's more of a hobby for you then, because you know what? I have a 55-inch television, so for me, and I have a Blu-ray player, and I have digital downloads and all sorts of shit. So, like, you know, I'll go to all the comic book movies, all the science fiction movies. I have to, you know, because I'm married, I have to conform and see, you know, an occasional bitch flick with the wife.
Ridiculous Sparks, huh?
Yeah, whatever it is. Last one she dragged me to was about a chick who never aged.
Age Adeline.
Oh, that movie was, even to her, it was awful. She hated it. But
yeah, there was a...
You know.
There was nothing steamy or romantic about it. It was just, I'm not aging, and I got to make sure nobody notices that I've been around for the last 80 years.
Yeah. But, like, it's got to, for me, the people ruin it. Like, the moviegoers ruin it for me. No matter where I go, even in classy neighborhoods, you'll get the couple, the ghetto couple that brings their fucking newborn into the theater. You know, that bothers me. And then they'll yell at the screen, "Don't go there. Oh, look out. Oh, man."
Well, there are certain times of the day where you should expect that.
Right, but you see, I work 10 out, 12 hours a day, so, you know, I'm only going to the movies at night unless it's a weekend.
No, at night, no. In the daytime, they encourage you can bring the kids, and if you got no babysitter.
I'm sorry, dude. To bring a newborn to a theater, it's for me, I wouldn't do it. I'd rather either get a sitter or wait till the movie comes out on Blu-ray or something.
I know somebody, she comes to the screenings. Should drag her whole family. She got like 4 kids. One of them is well under 10. It could be like the most violent movie up on the screen. She'll drag them in because she wants to see a movie.
Yeah, that's for me, that's irresponsible.
I've sat through some R-rated movies when I was a kid, but...
Yeah, my dad was high, though. My grandfather took me to see Death Wish, too. And I was like 8 years old. And I was like 8 years old, you know? I didn't know any better. My dad took me to see Up in Smoke. I was like, what? And then I saw Excalibur, the original Excalibur movie.
Yeah.
Like, that was raw back in the day. You know, you saw sex and violence, and they took me to see that.
The women in the beginning.
Yeah, they took me to see that. I was like 8 years old, 10 years old.
I was like, maybe like 8 or 9, and my grandfather was taking me to see Police Academy movies.
Oh, yeah.
My parents took me to see Back to School with Rodney Dangerfield when I was like 10.
Classic.
My father, he took us to see Human Tornado, Animal House.
Oh. Damn. Yeah, my dad took me to see Up in Smoke.
You know, the first time I saw a Dirty Harry movie, I was like, what the fuck?
Right. Oh, you know what else I saw in the movies too? Oh, the fucking Angie Dickinson movie. Oh, the name of it. Oh, come on, Phil. I would know this. It was like a really rated R Angie Dickinson movie. Anybody who doesn't know who Angie Dickinson is, we're really showing our age right now. But yeah, I saw some shit in the movies, man.
She was the chick back in the day.
She was, dude. She was definitely the chick back in the day. She was badass. She was like the white Pam Grier, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You did those exploitation films.
Damn right she did. That's what I saw in a movie. One of them was, I think it was the Dial M for Murder or something like that. I forgot the name of the movie, but my grandfather took me to see that. You know? Then I had a cousin who was an usher, and back in the day, before Giuliani became mayor in New York and fixed up Times Square, it was still smutty.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
and the movie houses were old, like you know, like ritzy old. And they would have all the premieres here, but not like California. Like, the actors and actresses wouldn't show up, but you would still get the red carpet and the news and stuff was there. I remember going to the premiere of Superman 2, which was pretty dope. The premiere of Ghostbusters, which is pretty dope. Like, they gave, like, programs and red carpet, and they gave out
Big
food.
Big Bad Mama?
No, didn't see that one. Was it Big Bad Mama? No, I think it was Dial M for Murder. I think it was
Dial M for Murder was a TV movie.
No, then it wasn't Dial M for Murder. It was something else.
It was 70s or 80s?
It was definitely like the early 80s. Oh, I saw American Werewolf in London, too, around that time. In the theater.
You know what pissed me off? When I was there, like, I was telling you, my dad took me to see all those movies. He wouldn't take me to see The Adventures of Baron Munchausen.
She is Dressed to Kill, 80, Cassian Cumberbatch.
Was it Dressed to Kill? What year did Dressed to Kill come out?
80.
I was six. So definitely he took me to that. Definitely. Definitely.
She's 84.
She's fucking dope. She's badass. She's so badass.
Like Pam Grier, so true.
Right? Am I lying?
Yeah. No, now that you mention it, like, I'm. Yeah, it's
right.
Exactly what it is.
She didn't start off as that, though. I mean,
No. You have to build yourself up. So.
You know, she was like a Doris Day in the 60s, you know? She's supposed to have been like the love interest, and all of a sudden, she was in action flicks and getting raped and kicking ass and shooting people.
I hated the fact that they had to get raped to kick ass, you know? There was always something bad had to happen to these chicks, you know? But it is what it is. Yeah, but yeah, I saw some shit in the theater. But back in the day, they had, like, all these, you know, these premieres in New York. They weren't as big as L.A. because L.A. would have all the actors and actresses show up, but the news was always there, and, like, you know, my cousin always had a hook. So my cousin was an usher. He'd get us in. It was pretty dope. And then, really dope in high school, I had bad allergies in high school, and I would take a bus every other week to Hillside Avenue and like 165th Street in Jamaica, Queens. And I'd go to there's a mall there called, name of the fucking mall. What was the name of the mall, Scott, in Jamaica?
On Jamaica, what?
Dr. J's was there, a bunch of stores. Anyway.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Anyway, I'd go to the mall and get my fucking hats and shit, my starter coats and whatnot, and then I'd go around the corner to a doctor's office, like an allergist, and get my allergy shots. And for like a year or two, there's like sophomore and junior year, I'd get these shots, and I wound up outgrowing them. But the guy who gave me the shot, the technician, the doctor's technician, he moonlighted as a movie usher in like some another part of Queens, like in Astoria.
Coliseum Mall,
that's it. Thank you, sir. That's where all the rappers, get their gold fronts. Like Tribe Called
Run DMC,
yeah, Run DMC, and who else was a Queens rapper? Fucking Tribe Called Quest, LL Cool J. All the Queens rappers would get their gear over there. Dr. J's was there, VIM was there.
MC Shan
was, well, yeah, Shan was in Astoria, Queensbridge. He probably shopped there too, though. All the rappers from that area shopped in that area. Slick Rick, even though he was in the Bronx, he'd get his gold fronts because there was a jeweler there that made all the gold teeth for them. I remember Houdini, they were from Brooklyn. I remember seeing Houdini's DJ there one time. Anyway, make a long story short, my buddy Julio was a movie usher at night, and he would be like a doctor's technician during the day. And he would get me into all the movies, too, in the 90s. So I saw, like, all the Star Trek movies that came out and, you know, anything that came out around that time I saw from, like, 90 to, like, 93. So it's pretty dope. Yeah, so I saw some of my fair share of movies in the day, back in the day. Ted Turner said he saw Blue Lagoon in the theater. Wow. That must have been wicked.
Oh, Ted. You admit that in public?
It was risque for its time, man.
Yeah.
It wasn't a good movie, though.
How many movies were actually good when we saw them as kids? Or they were good as kids, and when you saw them again, you were like, oh, Jesus Christ. We saw that?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I could just, I remember in high school going to see, was it high school? Whenever Waterworld came out, I saw Waterworld in the theater.
The Tom Cruise one?
The Kevin Costner movie.
Waterworld?
Waterworld.
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 Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Max on the water.
And I thought it was good. And
I love Waterworld.
No, yeah, you guess what? You're the only one that I know now unless Surfer likes it. But
no, I
walked out of that theater and even the usher was like, "You like that fucking movie?"
The Postman was a better movie.
Dennis Hopper was so friggin' awesome in that movie.
The Postman was a better movie. Most people don't think that's a good movie either.
See, The Postman sucks ass.
Senior year, I got you remember Terzo, right? Scott?
Yeah.
Me and Terzo got usher jobs in a Cineplex Odeon on 60th Street and 1st Avenue, which is right down the block from the Dangerfield Club. The comedy club, Dangerfields? Okay. Cineplex Odeon. It was a summer job. The boss, his name was Mr. Decker. He looked like he had the ponytail and everything. He looked like an 80s fucking serial killer. But he looked exactly like, ponytail and all, the guy who helped the Cobra Kai guy from the Karate Kid when we get his business back up. What the hell was his name? Was that the second Karate Kid? No, the third one. When he when the guy's down his luck, the Cobra Kai instructor, and his friend helps him get the business back up.
Right. I got it right here. I'm looking it up.
Right. He looked just like that guy with the ponytail and all. He was
Thomas Ian Griffith?
That's the guy. And this guy was hopped up on cocaine. And it was 93. I'll never forget this. I was big into basketball at that point. And I remember Barkley getting traded to the Suns. And I was like, oh, they're going to make a run for the Bulls. And I remember it was the NBA Finals. And it was like middle of June. And they made me work these fucking stupid Sunday shifts. And like three people go to the theater. And I'm like, I just want to, can you give me the day off so I can go home and fucking watch the playoffs? And this guy was like, nah. So you have five ushers here. And there's three people that come to the theater. There was nobody in the theater. So I wound up saying, go fuck you. Went home, watched the baseball game. Just... fucking cool.
You know, you would think everybody that played in Jordan's era would hate that motherfucker.
Who, Jordan?
Yeah.
I just want, you know what? I didn't hate Chicago.
No, I'm not talking about, I'm talking about the players. Because so many great players came through and was denied a ring because they had to go with Jordan.
Listen, Patrick didn't get to, the Knicks didn't get to the finals until they beat Chicago without Jordan. But
Then fucking Olajuwon said nope.
Oh yeah, Houston was. But
it
Houston,
wasn't Olajuwon. It was John Starks and his shitty.
Yeah, John Starks ruined that game. Yeah, John Starks ruined the NBA Finals for us. He just decided to hit bricks.
Starks may have came up short, but Houston was going to win that.
It was 2-for-23, and I lost by 5 fucking points.
I gotta disagree, sir. If the Knicks would have won that game, I think they would have won the championship.
It was game 6, and that was over.
Yeah, they would have pushed them to game 7. Yeah, they would have pushed them game 7. But Houston was good, though. I'm not even going to lie about it. But anyway, getting back to 93, I thought that Suns team was dope. They had Dan Marley. They had Charles Barkley. They had Kevin Johnson. They had a great team, right? And I said, if anybody's going to make a run, it's going to be Phoenix. Now Barkley is the missing piece, you know, and it wasn't going to be. I thought the 97 Jazz had a shot at them too.
It's hard when you take a good team, and then you bring in like a superstar, and then he's expected to both lead them and fit in at the same time. Like when the Sixers got Moses. Had Doc not said, okay, I'll step back and allow you to take the forefront. It could have never worked.
Yeah.
But if Doc was like, hey, I got to get this championship. I'm getting old.
Yeah.
I'm going to do what I have to do.
Right. No, absolutely.
Even Cleveland had a good team back then with Mark Price.
Yeah, yeah. Brad Daugherty. They had a good team. But, you know, again, you're playing the same division as the Bulls.
Yep.
So, but yeah, man, it was hard.
The Heat with Alonzo Mourning and Tim Hardaway and Penny.
Yeah, and Larry Johnson.
Yeah.
Oh, God. No, Larry Johnson played for the Heat. I'm sorry. He played for the Charlotte Hornets and then the Knicks. But, man, it was just too. Nobody could beat them. This is ridiculous. Ridiculous. I remember him having the flu on Christmas Day coming into the fucking Garden, dropping like 60 points on us. I'm like, come on, man. This is ridiculous.
Right.
At one point, you're like, when is it going to stop? When's it going to stop, you know?
I just couldn't stand Michael Jordan.
I didn't dislike him. I just wanted the Knicks to win. That's all. Like it was one of those things where I didn't hate. I wore a Bulls jacket, you know, once in a while. You know, I liked him. I wore a T-shirt once in a while, but I was a Knicks fan. But I loved him. I loved Chris Mullin. Like I loved all those. I loved
Run TMC.
But I loved Mitch Richmond. I had a Sacramento Kings hat back in the day. You know, but like it's a different game now. Like I was watching the Knicks tonight. They were like, but I was just a different game.
Who's the top guy on the Knicks now?
Carmelo Anthony.
Oh, Carmelo's still there?
Yeah.
Is he a top player or he's just?
Nah, he's still top dog. He's going to be top five in scoring.
He's the only player.
But no, yeah, they're rebuilding, but they drafted a bunch of kids this year. They're doing okay. They're transitional thing.
Out from that Allen Houston contract.
Oh, please. Please don't get me started.
That's to me, problem with basketball. Like they try to blame it on guys coming out of high school. Me, I always look at it as the older guys. Like, okay, you're a good player, right? And you've been around for like say 11 years. Your contract up. Then you sign a 6-7 year deal, and yet you're only good for maybe a year or two. And before your skills fall off now. You got a 5 more years guarantee where the guy sitting on the bench is eating up a contract.
I mean, there's some validity to that. I feel like, you know, it's not the guys coming out of high school. It's the rules, dude. Have you watched a full game? When's the last time you watched a full basketball game?
I tried to watch the Sixers the other night, and
well, that's a bad example because the Sixers aren't that good.
I know, but
probably the other night. I was watching Golden State and the Clippers.
Okay. All right. So did you watch the full game?
I watched about 3/4 of it, then I fell asleep. Because, that's a West Coast game. It's on until 1:30
okay.
in the morning.
All right. So you're watching the game, and you guys were all around the same age. Okay? So you tell me, can you watch a full game, even if the teams are good, and does it keep your interest?
No.
Because you can't hand check no more. You can't play defense no more. You can't do.
I was never able to watch a full game because I hate the last 5 minutes with the fucking ticky-tack fouls.
Dude, I was so pissed off.
Well, that was the kind of contradiction with basketball. It's like they want the points, right? You know, back in the day, you used to get the points. But then coaches are like, defense. You got to be defense. You got to play defense. So when the game went from everybody averaging 120 points a game to people only averaging 80 points a game, I mean, people lost interest.
So it goes back to the old saying, chicks dig the long ball. You have to have offense to make it sexy.
Yeah, and it's everybody's shooting three-pointers, and everybody can't make them.
Yep.
And
I love, in baseball, I love a good pitcher's duel. I love a good defensive battle. I love it.
And here's the thing. If you are a versatile player, right, and you have a choice of either trying to be a top star and getting as much money as you can, or, doing the smaller things to help you win, but then you don't get no credit and you don't get no payday. What direction do you go in? Because getting a championship doesn't guarantee you're going to get paid.
Nope.
All I'm saying is
30 points a game.
It's not even about it. They did it for more offense. I get it. more offense brings more TV, brings more revenue to the league. I get it.
Oh, so what's the average now? The teams, what's the average teams are scoring?
85. No, the average is at least 90.
But 70s, 80s, they was averaging 110, 115.
Right. So how come you can't play defense no more? And not everybody has a guard like Steph Curry.
How can you not play defense and yet the scores are less than it used to
because
be?
Because you're fouling out before the fourth quarter.
Yep.
Like, you're fouling out by halftime. You can't hit Surfer. Have you seen the defensive line? If you stand a certain way under the paint, they blow a whistle with no one near you. If you hand check a guy on a fast break coming into your zone, if you hand check him, you get a foul. If you put your hand up to block a shot without body contact, they call a fucking foul on that. Without body contact, when a guy there was a guy tonight. He's a rookie for the Bucks. He's 6'11", and he was a guard. He was playing a guard position, you know. So now Carmelo's trying to post up on him, right? He can't. He goes to shake him, goes to reach for Porzingis, the new kid, because this kid's 7 foot. And he can fucking shoot from the bathroom. Porzingis is on the line, not even on the three, at the line waiting to get the ball at the point. He couldn't get it. The dude, and then Carmelo dishes it to Lopez under the paint, and the kid, the 6'11" kid, gets off of Carmelo, goes to Lopez, and goes to block without body, just hands. Guy 6'11", he's almost 7 foot, and goes to block, and they blow a whistle. No body contact, just a hand. Because his wrist probably touched the other guy's wrist, they blew a whistle. Tell Bill Laimbeer that back in the day. Tell Bill Cartwright that during the day.
The problem, too, is like it got to a point where people was getting them up. Like when Detroit was roughing people up, that shit was just a crime.
Right, but
Detroit, the 90-91 Pistons?
Yeah, but in the same breath, you had guerrilla teams. Sixers did that for a while with fucking, what's his name?
Yeah, we got
what's his face? Rick Mahorn?
Rick Mahorn, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Rick Barkley used to mug people.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. You know what? Hakeem Olajuwon, as fancy as he was, he threw. Mutombo threw his hands up there a lot of times.
Learned that shit from Moses.
Yeah, Bill Cartwright. Come on, dude. There's a bunch of dudes.
Charles Oakley. Like,
Oakley was a beast. First of all, Oakley was a special kind of beast. Okay? Charles Oakley was probably the greatest defender I've ever seen in basketball in my lifetime. So, him and Robert Parrish are probably the best defenders I've ever seen in my lifetime.
Lurch.
Yeah. But that's the thing, man. It's a different game. And I love my Knickerbockers. I do. I love them.
Oh, yeah. You brought up Robert Parrish,
the chief.
The Celtics used to get away with murder when it came to hacking people.
Sure.
You touched them, I mean, the whistle flew so fast, it wasn't even funny. Bird was...
You get a whistle for looking at Bird.
Bird would hack the shit out of people, but...
Yeah, but you see, that's the thing, though. They made the rules different. Even when Jordan came in the league, they made the rules. They had the Michael Jordan rules, the Larry Bird rules. Isaiah Thomas would break ankles. Okay? Would break ankles. He split dudes. He gave dudes shin splints. Okay? And nobody called nothing on him. So. All
right, I got a question for you guys. I called up a radio station one time. They asked a question. Would you rather have your ankles broken on a crossover, or would you rather be dunked on?
I'd rather be dunked on.
No. See, I'd rather be crossed up because nobody remembers that after 3 days. When you get dunked on, you got dudes junk in your face. You're all over SportsCenter, and you become a poster.
Yeah, but if you're gonna get your legs broken on a cross, you're gonna fall.
I don't know if I...
Yeah, like Chris Paul and Curry last year.
Right.
I don't know if I totally agree with that because people still talk about the time Iverson crossed over Jordan.
Oh, they talked about... You see the...
Because it was Jordan.
But did you see the... Did you saw the documentary, right? The Iverson documentary on Showtime?
Yeah.
Oh. that was so dope. But he did that to everybody, though. He did that to everybody. That's the thing, too. That's another guy that you couldn't check. You couldn't check him. If you gave him any kind of, if you gave him any kind of an open look, you cannot check. I loved Allen Iverson. Loved him.
There's only one man that kept him in check, and that was Peyton.
Well, yeah, the glove. And you know what? Reggie Miller did a good job on him, too, though.
Reggie Miller's another one I hate.
I hate Reggie Miller.
8 points in 20 seconds.
I hate Reggie Miller. I do. I hate him more than Spike Lee hates him. That's definitely.
That's bad, man.
That's bad
a
news.
Lot of hate.
Yeah. I hate him more than Spike Lee hates him.
But, you know, as far as getting dumped on, you know, that gets you posterized, like, every time.
Yeah.
My sister had a poster of John Starks dunking on Jordan.
the best dunk I remember, Marcus Camby on Mutombo. And Mutombo looked like he was shitting his pants when Camby went off. You remember that one, Phil?
Yep. I remember the dunk. It was D. Brown from the Celtics. He put a hurtin', I believe it was against Charlotte, and Alonzo Mourning had his Gumby fucking fade dented. Like, he just, like, you know, D. Brown was like, he was all over the place, and he had that windmill, you know what I'm saying? So he had an open floor, and Mourning tried to just to back in, like through the back end, try to, like, defend him, and he got under the hoop, Brown just, like, it looked like it was slow motion. He came around and split his afro in half, you know, his Gumby fade. But yeah, a lot of good dunks in the 80s, man. Dominique was my favorite. You know, Dominique was I love Dominique Wilkins.
I think Vince Carter, when he hung by the elbow in the rim,
that was the last great. That's the last great dunk I saw. The last great one was Vince Carter.
Yeah, I mean, when he hung like that by the elbow, and just was that look on his face was just like, and what?
Yeah, he had height too, that dude. He got up.
He still does, and he's like 43.
Yeah, where does he play now? He plays. He still plays, right?
Houston?
Maybe. I have to look that up.
He's still in the league?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, in China somewhere? Or...
Toronto.
He started in Toronto.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Toronto's not...
Currently plays for the Memphis Grizzlies.
Oh, the Grizzlies.
He's 38.
Yeah, Zach Rudolph plays for them. The guy the Knicks thought he was going to bring to the promised land.
How's Beef doing this year?
Who's that?
Kobe Beef.
Oh, Kobe's...
He's not doing that great.
He's got a shit team, though.
Yeah, but, I mean, he shot like something like 11 points the other night. Yeah.
Y'all did know he was named after a piece of beef, right?
Yeah. That dude's classy, though, man. Sorry, I can't hate on Kobe. I can't. He's when he retires, LeBron James will be the greatest player in basketball. He's right now the best player in basketball. I mean, accolades wise and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah.
Guys playing on the same team for 20 years, that's still unheard of, you know. That doesn't happen anymore, you know.
Definitely doesn't.
So, well, it's been fun. I got to wrap this
up.
We
got breaking news.
Oh, breaking news. Hold on.
Boogeyman. Oh.
Hold on. Let me get my, where's my breaking news? There we go. Nice. Breaking news.
According to WWE.com, Boogeyman has signed a Legends contract.
That's not breaking news. I broke that one at the opening of the show.
Oh, did you say Boogeyman?
Yeah, I said Boogeyman, Tatanka, and Billy Graham.
Oh, I didn't hear you say Boogeyman. I just heard Billy Graham.
Billy Graham no longer bitter?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I said before. All right, Scott, I'm going to have to give you this now. You can't give any more breaking news.
I'm sorry, man.
Yeah.
My fault.
Yeah, he's bipolar. But Billy Graham's bipolar surfer. So.
Oh, man. Has he still got that walker?
I'm sure he does.
I think he's in a wheelchair now.
That dude's half.
That was so funny when he was trying to get better. He had the walker. He's going up the hill and he falls down. Everything. Hogan's trying to encourage him to keep walking.
Yep. I remember when he was training. When him and Morocco got together, they were doing Jesus Christ Superstar. Those vignettes of him standing on the rock. Dun, dun, dun. He's flexing with the
with the tie-dye shirt on. Good times, good times. Anyway, well, it's been fun. I got a doctor's appointment in the morning. And I got some Star Wars stuff to do. So, any final words from you guys before I cut you off and do my my spiel?
No, but I'll let you know when I'm heading up to there. And I'll get those pictures up on the website when I do.
Yeah, definitely put them. Yeah, definitely do that. Definitely do that. I appreciate it. And again, thank you very much, Dave, and I really appreciate that.
Oh, what did Dave say when he heard it? I just want to...
He didn't hear it yet. He knows I have it. I didn't send it to him yet. No. He'll hear it when he downloads the show.
Thanks for having me on, and go see the Peanuts movie.
Oh, was it good?
Yeah, it was enjoyable.
That's great. I can't wait to see that, too. I'm going to go see that, too. When the kid, I don't have the kid this weekend, so I'll take him next week. Real quick, Surfer, you and Jordan this Sunday, 5 o'clock?
Yeah, Final Fate of Jordan this week, this Sunday.
All right, Jordan Cobb back in the fold. I want to thank everybody in the chat room tonight. I want to thank Ted Turner calling in from Canada. Hold on a second here. Let me start up my music. So, where is it? Anyway, all right. So, Surfer, Scott, thank you so much for hanging out with me tonight. I appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure, my pleasure.
Be back next week with a kick-ass throwback for you. Remember, we're not live, but we will be live. So we'll have just won't hear me and, like, live. You'll hear us live, but it'll be pre-recorded. So anyway, guys, thank you so much for hanging out with us. Thank you, too. Let me remind everybody, go to turnbuckle-throwbacks.com. Get all the shows there. Go to rantemradio.com. Go to ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. All the shows are there. Leave reviews if you want to. Please buy a shirt. ProWrestlingTees.com/TurnbuckleThrowbacks. We are on Twitter and Periscope at TBuckleTBacks. You want to snail mail us? TurnbuckleThrowbacks1@gmail.com. What else is going on? I think that's pretty much it. I think I plugged everything else, right? Tomorrow night, Wrestling Call-In Show with Mr. Will Morgan and the crew. And
John Cena.
Yeah.
Rebuttal.
Yeah, John Cena rebuttal, of course. And Surf was back with Jordan at 5 p.m. on Sunday. And then starts a whole new week of the rant and talk brunch and freaks and effing geeks and rant and wrestling and all that happy horse shit. So, on behalf of Surfer and Scott, I'm the Impact player, Mr. Philly Raya, bidding you adieu, reminding all of you to avoid the clap, don't get arrested, be kind to animals. Don't use racist epitaphs. And, I don't know.
Stay classy, San Diego.
Stay classy, San Diego. Good night, boys.
Have a good one.